Good evening, everybody. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, October 31st, 2016. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to midnight. If you're listening over another network or you would like to ask a question or make a comment, our call-in number is 605-562-3140. And our participant code is 385698. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send those questions to questions, plural, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support National Liberty Alliance's effort to save America. Also, please consider supporting NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab up on the top right-hand side of our website. Okay, tonight's scripture reading is going to be in Psalms, chapter 68, I think. Is it 68? Yep, Psalm 68. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. So again, it's Psalm 68. Verses 1 through 8. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God. Sing praise to his name. Extol him and ride upon that ride upon the heavens by his name, Jah, and rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is a God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, the earth shook, the heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. That was Psalms 68, verses 1 through 8. Okay, we got something to read again tonight. It's the second part of a paper that we started reading last week. This is the second part of it. It has been posted up on the website. You can go to nationallibertyalliance.org. Click on the grand jury on the top right hand, on the right hand side of the bar, and just come down and you'll see it's one of the first group of papers that you can download in a PDF form. Right now we named it Power and Authority. So tonight we're going to read this paper. It's 8 pages long. You can follow along. Again, nationallibertyalliance.org. On the blue bar far right, grand jury. Scroll down just a bit and you'll see Power and Authority. We also put up here a statement of jurisdiction. You know, we have a paper we wrote about jurisdiction. I'm not sure whether we posted it, and I'm pretty sure we did read it. I'll have to check. If we haven't read that paper, maybe in the future we will read that paper. It's an important paper. And it's something anyone can use in any court case to make sure to get the right jurisdiction. But when you go into the federal courts, I've been going through the federal rules of the court, and I've been looking at the forms in there. And as we've been speaking, we're getting ready now to file in a formal manner a case up here in New York, up in the Northern District of New York, up in Albany. And the case is a redress of grievance case. And we're going to file the paper, and the people who are going to be required to respond we're looking at the judiciary, because we're going after the judiciary because the legislature, particularly those two. And, we've been sending papers to all the chief judges, and they've been pretty much just silent. So they're frauds. All those chief judges out there, they're frauds, because silence when they have a duty to speak is fraud. That's what the court says. That's what we says. That's what common law says. That's what logic says. The heart tells us. If we hire someone to do a job for us and we ask them to give an account or question them concerning a situation we've given them authority over, and they remain silent, they're frauds. They're in bad behavior. They need to be removed from office. So we're going to go directly to the United States Supreme Court this time. We'll send our papers to the chief judge. We'll order him to make sure that the rest of the judges, justices up there in the Supreme Court get it. I believe it's Roberts is the chief judge up there still. And then we're going to copy a paper to both houses. The leaders of the House. There's a leader of the House. And is also of the Senate. So we'll send it to those two individuals. Again, we'll order them to make sure that all the people within the Senate and all the people within the House will get a copy of this. We'll also send it to them anyway through fax and email when we send this paper out and file it. Now, it does cost to file these things, so we're going to need some money. But we also are going to send a copy to all 50 governors. So again, let me just quickly reiterate this. We're going to be sending a copy to the United States Supreme Court. They're going to need to respond. We're going to send a copy to both houses on the federal level and all 50 state governors. And the 50 state governors, we're going to tell them they need to share this with their houses within their states. They got some decision making to be made. And tonight, this paper we're going to read, I know when I was writing this and going through this and looking at the Constitution and realizing how far off base we have gone. Now, I've realized this for quite some time, and I did something similar to this a while back, but really we went point by point and particularly looked into the prime directive that we the people have given to our federal government and how far off base they are. They acknowledge absolutely nothing, zero, what we the people have ordered and commanded them to be. We ordained and established this Constitution for them, and they have stubbed their nose to that. They've rejected listening to it. They do not obey it. They're just everywhere but. And I think as we're reading tonight's paper, when we get to certain points, it's going to become so obvious. And you look at these, some of these people are sleeping up there. You know, hopefully we'll wake some of them up and they'll step up and try to do something and start to collect together and get behind the people. But anyway, I'm going to read that paper in a few minutes. But first, I want to go to the statement of jurisdiction. On the rules of civil procedures, the federal rules of civil procedure for the United States District Courts, there is Form Number 7, page 106. Now, I know we do have a copy of the rules of federal procedure on our website. I'm not sure exactly where it's at, so I can't direct you right now, but look around, you'll find it. I think I'll put a copy of the rules up on the grand jury page. We will probably create a page, maybe we'll call it docket. I don't like to use that word docket because it has a kind of a meaning that we don't want it to have with what we're doing. But I'm going to have to study that word and see, if we can use another word or if it's okay to use that word. We're not going to give them any credibility to their fiction. So we don't care if we use their words. They can't change the meanings of words. They think they can, but they can't. It's a fraud. We'll call them on it. They're not going to bring it up against us, and we're just going to go forward and steamroll them like they have been steamrolling us. By the way, Jan, am I coming through clear enough? I should have checked my mic before we started.
Yeah,
I am.
You sound
okay.
Fine.
All right. Okay, so anyway, you can download this paper we're going to read here. But again, the statement of jurisdiction, I'm going to go back to that just for a minute. And I will get the copy of the rules up on this page later, another point. Maybe tomorrow I'll put together a page and we'll call it a docket and it'll be right under the grand jury page and so on. But it was called statement of jurisdiction. I found that interesting. Well, we're going to use their form and we're going to make a statement of our jurisdiction according to the rules of civil procedures of the United States. For the United States District Courts, and this was approved by the 113th Congress on the second session. I'm not sure what year that was in, but I think it was back in 1938. It was quite some time ago. But it starts off basically, there are three sections, A, B, and C, in order to give the jurisdiction. And we put A, the plaintiffs are the assembly. We got a copy of this, by the way, also called a statement of jurisdiction on our page, the grand jury. And you can read through the whole thing. I'm not going to read through the whole thing, just these three little sentences. Paragraph A, the plaintiffs are the assembly of we, the sovereign people, the authors of the law, by right of the covenant of 1776 and 1791 with our creator under the common law at large. And then B, this action arises under the United States Constitution in violation of, and it is in violation of just about every amendment, 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We've listed all of those violations and what they've infringed upon. And then C, this is a case of jurisdiction of the land under the law of the land as intended by the Constitution for the United States, Article 4, Clause 2. So this sort of really tightens it up to where they understand or should understand we're coming in under common law. Okay, now the paper we read last week is part of this paper. This is like the second part to it. I did divide it up for the purpose of looking at it and reading it. And we're now going to be starting writing on the papers individual for the different individual branches that we're going to be sending the papers to. And we'll be directing it to certain individuals and requiring them to respond and to obey. And there are a lot of cases that we've kind of sent paperwork in to over the past year. We're going to start pulling those cases into this case because it becomes the examples of exactly what we're talking about. And this case is about subversion against the United States of America by enemies both foreign and domestic, so it covers everything. We're going to pull in, we're going to go after that judge out there in Oregon and the judge in the Bundy case. For the wildlife preserve. We're going to go after the judge out there in Montana with Joe. Goodness, I forget Joe's last name. What's Joe's last name again?
Robertson.
But many of Robinson, thank you. Joe Robinson. We're going to go after Roberts. Okay.
Robert.
We're going to go after Robertson.
Yeah.
Okay, and we're gonna go after I think it's a congressman. I'm not sure what it was, but I've got to go back and review the papers. But I believe it was an elected individual who was kind of sticking up with the Oath Keepers, and then all of a sudden declared them to be. If I got the story right, I haven't studied it enough yet now to know what exactly it is. But ultimately, he's called the Oath Keepers. I'm sorry.
Waldron is the name of that politician.
Waldron. What's he? Is he a state congressman in Jersey? Do we know?
Oh, you mean in Jersey?
Yeah, the one in Jersey.
Oh, no, this one's out in Oregon.
Okay, what did this one in Oregon say or do? Did he say something also?
Well, Waldron, in the very beginning, come out like he was very angry with what was happening by the feds and everybody, and then he sides with all the tyrants, with the governor and everybody.
Well, we're definitely going to go after the governor. We'll talk about this guy later, and we'll include this guy in there too. We want to know why. They need to answer concerning their actions. And so anyway, we're also going to go after this politician. I believe he's a representative in Jersey, state Congress, that is. So I guess he'd be a state assemblyman. And he made some really bad statements concerning the Oath Keepers, calling them terrorists. And we want him to come up and explain that to us because we want to know. But there's a lot of cases. We've got a lot of habeas corpuses out there. We're going to pull these cases, and the habeas corpus is going to pull these judges on these habeas corpuses into this case. And we want to know by what authority they thought that they had to disobey the law and not require due process. They've been alerted. They've been fully informed. And now they have to answer for their actions. And we'll talk about that in more detail when we get closer. I mean, hopefully next week or so we can get the papers done. But we have to file the papers, and we have to send it to 50 governors. They're going to be pretty thick copies. We're going to send full copies to every governor and two houses and the United States Supreme Court. It's also going to cost us $400. I think it's $410 to file. We're going to pay their filing fee. We're going to try to file without paying it first, but we need to have that $410 in our back pocket. And we'll pay whatever it is, and then we're going to go after the clerk for extortion. They wanted to extort us in order for us to make a filing. We're going to pull them into court, and they're going to have to give an account, and we want our money back. And we want it back threefold. And anyway, this is where we've been planning to go for quite a while. We were kind of changed our direction to go out west, and we did what we could out there. Now we're going to really kind of collect everything and pull everything together here and make this really the pivoting point. So I'm going to read this paper. It's titled right now, Power and Authority. It's 8 pages, and let me just get going on it. There is a war that has been raging since antiquity, a war for our hearts and our minds and our flesh, for our very souls, to bring all mankind under a world order. As George Washington put it, orchestrated by a small group of cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men who have subverted the power of the people and usurped for themselves the reins of government. They have put in the place of the delegated will of the nation the will of a small but artful and enterprising minority to make the public administration the mirror of their ill-concerted and incongruous projects of faction rather than the organ of consistence. And wholesome plans digested by common councils and modified by mutual interests. And then we showed the seal that was adopted in 1782. We talked about this on the last paper, a little bit about the seal for Benjamin Franklin put together and one that Jefferson put together. And then that was kind of couched, and then a couple of years later, all of a sudden they adopt this seal, which has the New World Order on it. The all-seeing eye and all that stuff. So right from the very beginning, this is why there was Federalist and the Anti-Federalist. This was the big debate. This was the problem. There was good people in both of them, but both were infiltrated. And there's a war going on. There are two fundamental traditions of law and government that are active among humanity, each manifesting contrary ideals, the common law and the civil law. The common law rests upon justice administered by scriptural principles that presupposes the guard against the inherent imperfections of human reason. The civil law, on the other hand, justifies its method by presupposing and appealing to man's notions by perfected reason. The common law tradition governs only a handful of countries and is fundamentally consonant with scriptures, acknowledging the divine eternality of the law as the measure of all things. The civil law tradition, on the other hand, governs most modern nations and is fundamentally Babylonian, trusting human reason as the worthy measure of all things. The common law tradition recognizes the necessity of human administrations of law and government while providing safeguards against man's weakness. And that we pulled out from page 45 of The Excellence of Common Law by Brent Winters. Legislated laws of men change with the times, serves engenders, serves governments, are incapable of mercy, and demoralizes men. Whereas God's law are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. They serve God, it serves man, it benefits both victim and wrongdoer. It provides for repentance, it considers mercy, and it builds morals and saves souls. We, the sovereign people, ordained and established a federal government to serve the following 6 directives. 1, forming a more perfect union by creating a federal city, establishing uniform naturalization rules, coining money, establishing post offices, posting roads, and legislating for counterfeiting and piracy laws. 2, to establish justice by creating courts, securing habeas corpus. Congress may not impose an income tax, which the Constitution calls a direct tax. It's one and the same, an income tax. Forbids bar attorneys from holding office. And prevent misconstruction of abuse of powers. 3, to ensure domestic tranquility by providing for the militia for the suppression of insurrection and to repel invasion. 4, provide for the common defense, to raise and support armies, maintain a navy, and make rules for the land and naval forces. 5, promote the general welfare, by promoting the arts and the sciences, to make commerce regular, and no tax or duties on any exports. 6, to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity, by guaranteeing a republican form of government to protect us against invasion and enforce the law of the land. Our Constitution provided for a government that the United States is one, as one unique nation, where no state is deprived of its equal suffrage in the Senate. That means to have a vote, ultimately. So every state has a vote in the Senate. They send two senators, and they have a vote, and that's how the will of the state is brought into our federal government. Right now, they don't send two governors. The 17th Amendment changed that. Anyway, but the insidious faction within all three branches of our government have conspired and have succeeded in depriving every state its equal suffrage, destroying all balance of power between the states through the passing, as law, the repugnant 17th Amendment, a law specifically and explicitly forbidden by the Constitution itself. Amendment 10 clearly states that the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor forbidden by it to the state are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. All legislation by Congress that was not delegated to them is null and void, and it is the duty of this Congress to read and understand our Constitution and start obeying it, because clearly they are not. And in the day of reckoning, ignorance of the law will be no excuse. The foundation of our Constitution is the Declaration of Independence, which states, whenever any form of government becomes destructive to our unalienable rights, such as life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, and government by consent of the governed, it is the right of the people to remove from office by indictment or recall any elected, appointed, or hired servant who refuses to obey the law of the land. We, the people, have suffered a long train of abuses and usurpation by our government that perpetually pursued the same object, which revealed a design to reduce the people to living under absolute despotism. It is therefore our right and our duty to indict such tyrants and try them for treason in a court of justice. These tyrants have infiltrated our government from the very inception of our nation and have labored continually, deteriorating our union, taking the controls at every level of government. They have changed our federal city, built upon righteousness and governed by our Creator's laws, into a corporate state of greed and corruption, controlled by foreign bankers and bar attorneys. They have brought us to the very brink of World War III. Tyrants in Congress have ignored and expunged the people's six directives. Instead of forming a more perfect union, they have given our federal city, post offices, and the coining of money to foreign bankers and bar attorneys. Instead of establishing justice, they have turned our courts to jurisdictions unknown, abolished habeas corpus, imposed an income tax that has destroyed the middle class, and turned all lawmaking over to the bar, who have abrogated the law of the land. 3. Instead of ensuring domestic tranquility, they have abolished the militia and closed our armories. 4. Instead of providing for the common defense, they have kept our armed forces in a state of perpetual war. 5. Instead of promoting the general welfare, they have regulated commerce, and instead of making commerce regular, they imposed unconstitutional sin taxes. Advancements in science, health, and technology have been hidden. Inventors have been stifled and murdered. 6. Instead of securing the blessings of liberty, they have changed our republic first into a democracy and now into an oligarchy. There is a hidden hand that orchestrates events, our courts, and our legislation through the insidious bar. America is in shambles, and our elected servants walk as blind men. These tyrants within have denied us due process. They abrogated the common law. They have created federal debtors' prison through the IRS. They've robbed our homes through non-judicial foreclosures. They steal our children in family courts. They steal our parents and their estates in probate courts. They taint every grand and trial jury. They have created free speech zones. They have labeled patriots terrorists. They have destroyed our political process. They have stolen our free press. They have infringed upon our right to defend ourselves and have destroyed our manufacturing base. They have chased out of America 80% of the top Fortune 88% of the top Fortune 500 companies. They have destroyed our economy. They have turned our dollar into debt. They have robbed our silver and our gold. They have demoralized our children. They have opened our borders. They have used the BLM to terrorize American ranchers, miners, and loggers in order to sell off America's resources to foreign countries. They have sold out our postal systems to foreign corporations. They have broken our electric company sales to foreign corporations. They spy on we the people, intercepting and storing all of our communications in case we become a person of interest. Our servants take money, bribes, from special interest groups, thereby selling their vote and their souls to the highest bidder, usually on legislation that they don't even have the constitutional authority to pass in the first place, placing the will of the corporate world above the will of the people. Acts of our servants are not to provide for special interest groups, not to divide us, not to establish statutory courts in jurisdictions unknown, not to establish laws that enslave the human spirit, not to keep us in perpetual war, not to demoralize us, not to destroy our posterity, not to put us in harm's way, not to rob us of a proper education, and not to lead us as lambs to the slaughter. We the people did not consent to any legislative power that legislates our behavior or penalize wrongdoers. Common law decreed that in order for there to be a crime, there must be an injured party. And it is we, the people, through an untainted grand jury, who are to decide if there is evidence to indict. It is we, the people, through an untainted trial jury, who are to decide both the law and the facts. It is we, the people, through an untainted trial jury, who are to decide guilt or innocence. It is we, the people, through an untainted trial jury, who are to decide the penalty. Common law decrees that for every injury there must be a remedy. Restitution is that remedy that has the power to restore both the victim and the wrongdoer. The covenant made between God and his people in 1776 empowered we, the people, to self-government. George Washington said, was built upon the fundamental maxims of true liberty, and that the basis of our political system is the right of the people to make and to alter their constitutions of government. But the Constitution, which at any time exists till changed by an explicit and authentic act of the whole people, is sacredly obligatory upon all. The very idea of the power and the right of the people to establish government presupposes the duty of every individual to obey the established government. By God were all things created, what are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, for principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things. And by him all things consist. And through his common law, we the people are vested with unalienable rights. Governments are not. Your power and authority is defined in the Constitution that we the people ordained and established. Therefore, be now cognizant that we the people have been providentially provided legal recourse to address the criminal conduct of persons. We, the people, entrusted to dispense justice through juries formed by the people ourselves. We need not your permission. Does the master seek leave from the servant? Let us remind you that the first known recorded grand jury that was formed to put Tyrant King back under the control of the law was written by we, the people, who wrote their intentions and commands down on paper, titled the Magna Carta, not too much different than what we the people are doing herein. Be now cognizant that the grand jury is an institution separate from the courts, over whose functioning the courts do not preside. The grand jury is mentioned in the Bill of Rights, but not in the body of the Constitution. It has not been textually assigned, therefore, to any of the branches described in the first three articles. It is a constitutional fixture in its own right. In fact, the whole theory of its function is that it belongs to no branch of the institutional government, serving as a kind of buffer or referee between the government and the people. The grand jury's functional independence from the judicial branch is evident, both in the scope of its power to investigate criminal wrongdoing and in the manner in which that power is exercised. Unlike a court whose jurisdiction is predicated upon a specific case or controversy, the grand jury can investigate merely on suspicion that the law is being violated, or even because it wants assurance that it is not. Thus, we the people have the unbridled right by law and in law to impanel our own grand juries and present true bills of information, indictments, and presentments to the courts of record, like this one, which is then required to commence a criminal proceeding. Our founding fathers, with foresight, grafted into the common law Fifth Amendment a buffer that we the people may rely upon for justice when public officials, including judges, go rogue, act in bad behavior, and criminally violate the law. Be now cognizant that bar-controlled federal and state court judges, by their presumed authority, contrary to their oath and duty, fraudulently claim the Constitution for the United States and its capstone Bill of Rights is abolished by statutes written by traitorous bar members and passed by legislators, which are acts of conspiracy, treason, and war against the United States of America, and thereby we the people. Be now cognizant that we the people decreed by writ quo wanto all said unconstitutional legislation null and void, and declared all such subversives enemies of we the people of the United States of America, and ordered all United States marshals, bailiffs, county sheriffs, and deputies to arrest all such federal and state judges for conspiracy, treason, and breach of the peace when witnessing the violation of the people's unalienable rights in our courts in violation of Article 3, Section 3, for a levering war against the people, adhering to the enemy, and giving aid and comfort. 18 U.S. Code, subsection 2385. Whoever organizes or helps or attempts to organize any society, group, or assembly of persons who teach, advocate, or encourage the overthrow or destruction of any such government, such as the bar has been doing, by force or violence, or becomes or is a member of or affiliates with any such society, group, or assembly of persons, the bar, knowing the purpose thereof, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned, not more than 20 years or both. Be now cognizant that, because rights are unalienable, legislators cannot legislate away, legislate rights away, no matter what the bar has instructed you. Rights come from God and not man. Therefore, not even we the people can give them up for ourselves or for others. Once we the people ordained common law as the law of the land, no man can abrogate it. To claim to do so is an act of war against the people and their God. Be now cognizant that unconstitutional acts are not law, and no one is bound to obey them. Judges are expected to maintain a high standard of judicial performance, and when they violate the Constitution, they cease to represent the government. They become liable for damages and lose any immunity they may have had. State judges, as well as federals, have the responsibility to respect and protect persons from violations of federal constitutional rights. Be now cognizant that decency, Security and liberty alike demand that the government officials be subject to the same rules of conduct that are the command of the citizen. Judges have no more right to decline the exercise of jurisdiction as which is given to them to usurp that which is not given. The one or the other would be treason to the Constitution. No judicial process, whatever form it may assume, can have any lawful authority outside of the limits of the jurisdiction of the court or judge by whom it is issued. And an attempt to enforce it beyond these boundaries is nothing less than lawless violence. Be now cognizant that the unified United States Common Law Grand Jury is comprised of 50 grand juries, each unified among the counties within their respective states. All 50 states have unified nationally as an assembly of thousands of people in the name of we the people to suppress through our courts of justice subverts, both foreign and domestic, acting under the color of law within our government. States were unified by reconstituting all 3,133 United States counties. We are the people, and this grand jury will remain in session until we secure the nation from the tyrants at large and reinstate our Constitution. Be now cognizant that if anyone has dispossessed without the legal judgment of their peers from their lands, homes, franchises, or from his rights, we will immediately restore them to him. And if a dispute rises over this, then it will be decided by the 25 jurors of whom mentioned is made below in the cause for securing the peace. Moreover, for all those possessions from which anyone has, without the lawful judgment of his peers, been diseased or removed by our government, we will immediately grant full justice therein. Magna Carta, paragraph 52. Be now cognizant that we the people command all elected, appointed, and hired servants to obey the law of the land and join the people in our quest to reinstate the Constitution for the United States of America and bring to justice all subverts. Now that you know, to do nothing elevates you to principle. U.S. Code 18, subsection 2, principle. Whoever commits an offense against the United States or aids and abets, counsels, commands, induces, or procures its commission is punishable as a principal. Whoever willfully causes an act to be done, which if it's directly performed by him or another would be an offense against the United States, is punishable as a principal. Okay, that brings us to the end of that paper. And see where we go from here. By the way, Brent had sent me a message that he's not going to be with us tonight. He'll be back next week. So we'll be obviously skipping Brent's session tonight. Okay, we looked at the statement of jurisdictions. Jan, do we have any questions out there? Anybody have anything mailed in?
Yes, I have one or two questions here. The first one relates to the election and voter fraud. Apparently, there's been an article by Bethany Blankley. Talks about New York City Election Board Commissioner admits Democrats bus voters around to vote multiple times. And the questioner wants to know why we're not addressing this issue.
Well, you know, it doesn't matter who gets elected president, who gets elected anything at this point in time. Our entire nation is a mess. You know, they control all of these elected individuals. Sometimes an individual gets in, it's not so controlled, but they're still not bright enough to see the problems. I mean, when you look at they're not looking at the Constitution. They're obviously not reading it, because if they read the Constitution, they'd look to see what they're doing and see what the Constitution is doing. They'd see they're doing everything but what the Constitution says. This paper we read tonight makes that clear, in my opinion, crystal, crystal clear. Voting fraud is a problem, and we do need to correct it. But, you know, we're not going to be able to fight 1,000 battles. We have to fight the important battles that will win the war. And right now what we're doing is exactly what we believe will win the war. We will bring voters fraud into the court if we can. It's going to require people to do some research on it. I don't have the time to do research on voters fraud. There's a lot of stuff out there. So if someone wants to assist us with that, and we can discuss what exactly we need in order to bring a case against the government concerning voter fraud. And, you know, we don't go after government per se, because there's nothing wrong with our government. The structure of our government is fine. Nothing wrong with that. It's the people who have seized control of the controls of our government. That's where the problem is. And all of the unconstitutional legislation that has been made, that's the problem. And all of these people just overstepping their authority, that's the problem. So there's nothing wrong with our government, but there is something wrong with people who have come into our government and are subverting us, again, enemies both foreign and domestic. So if someone wants to spearhead that thing on voters fraud, to get a hold of Jan, and we'll try to get a meeting going with a few of us and kind of do some brainstorms, write out a criteria of what would be needed in order to break it and bring it into the court. And then, you know, we look at it every week for a while until we can kind of bring things together and make sure we can get what we need. So we'd love to bring something into the courts on this, but we don't have right now, the people who are involved right now, we don't have the manpower to go research that part, but we do need someone who wants to do it. Let's do it. I think I could be wrong on this. I'm not sure on how reliable a lot of things are out there, but, you know, you listen to different things and you try to kind of guess where we're at. And it does appear that, you know, this coming election, particularly for the president, should be a landslide. It does appear that way. If that is the case, if it is truly a landslide, then I think it's too big for them to fix it. They're not prepared to be able to deal with all these places. These people are so dumb anyway. You know, they got a lot of work to do to pull the wool over the people's eyes in this particular election, I think. And again, that's if it is a landslide potential, because they're not going to be able to hide it. You know, we look at the case out there in Oregon, and I think the main reason why these guys were all found innocent on every charge, everyone found innocent on every charge, one of the main reasons is because they did to the jury, that trial jury, exactly what they did to those people up on those wildlife. They send in infiltrators. Jury number 11 was a federal agent working for the BLM, and the grand jury, the trial jury, unearthed that and threw that individual out. And jury number 18 came in and took that person's place. I think that made it clear to them what they were up against, what was going up on there in the wild, on the wildlife. And then all of the contradictions that judge did on that case, it just became so obvious. And when I think that was the straw that just did the whole thing of this, something wrong here, something really stinks. They could not control that jury. So these people are just so dumb. They just don't stop. They don't know when to stop. I think they'll expose themselves. If they try to fix this election coming up, if this is a landslide, and I do think it is a landslide, if they try to fix this election, I think they're going to get caught, and they're not going to get away with it. And so anyway, that's that with that. Anything else?
Yeah, I have one other here. It was actually addressed to Brent, but I think if we need an answer, you can answer this. He starts out by saying, I assume Brent is suggesting that through his studies and research that there's no clear indication that we're truly a republic, but that we are a nation governed by common law. So his question is, are we a nation accepting that our former government is at present enshrouded by a veil of color of law corporatism? Are we a nation meant to be governed primarily by common law, where we exercise immediate and ultimate consent through our service as jury members?
Well, a lot of that question, I think, will be answered by reading last week's paper that we read, because we covered that in detail on where our law comes from. When the Declaration of Independence was written and signed in 1776, that became the covenant between we the people and God. We called upon the Creator in that. We claimed his unalienable rights, and we claimed his law to be guided and instructed by his law. That's how this nation was created. That's where it started. And it was fortified and secured and completed in the Constitution for the United States of America. Particularly, you know, where we read concerning the blessings of liberty and the purposes of government. Look at we'll look into it again. Okay, the preamble for the Constitution. Let's look at very clearly what it says. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, that was the first thing, to form a more perfect union. Okay, one that shares a money system and laws, a system. One that is a citizen of one state, a citizen of another state. One that can exercise the rights. If I have a right in New York and I go to Jersey and I exercise that right, they cannot make a law against that right that I am in New Jersey exercising from coming from New York. Even if you live in Jersey and you exercise a right that you learned about in Texas, and you're exercising that right, they cannot make a law against it. Okay, this is forming a more perfect union. You know, establishing a post office is complete for the whole United States, posting roads, and making uniform laws for counterfeiting and piracy laws. That is what that was all about. But anyway, to form a more perfect union. Number two, establish justice. And that, of course, brings us to common law. Justice and righteousness belongs to God, and we want to reflect that. To ensure domestic tranquility, to provide for the common defense, to promote the general welfare, to secure the blessings of liberty. And that is the key, to secure the blessings of liberty. That's the key, the blessings of liberty. And therein is what ties us in to the Creator. So again, we have made a covenant with God. We are a common law nation. The word common law comes up in the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights is a capstone to the Constitution. It is part and parcel of the Constitution. Okay. Let me just read a little bit here. Real quick, we read this. We have this in our paper that we wrote last, that we read last week. Okay. Let me see if I can find this. Okay, here it is. Congress shall make no law. Okay, well, no. I'm looking for the preamble. Okay, resolved. Articles, edition. All right, I can't find this right now. I'll look for it maybe when I can take a break away and look for this. But it is really sort of a preamble to the Bill of Rights, which makes it clear that the purpose of the Bill of Rights, which is part and parcel, it is part of, it was agreed to beforehand, before the signing of the Constitution, it was agreed that they would have a Bill of Rights. And so that was fused in. These aren't necessarily amendments, even though they're called amendments to the Constitution. It's called the Bill of Rights, and it is part of the Constitution. And it lists, of course, certain unalienable rights that are not to be violated by our government. So we have that covenant with God that no man can break. So we are a common law nation. It's mentioned in the common law is mentioned in the Constitution. Common law is mentioned at least two times in the Bill of Rights. The U.S. Supreme Court constantly acknowledges the fact that we are under common law, and common law is God's law. Anything else is man's law. There's only two different laws. There's civil law made by men, statutes that people had rule men, or there's the laws of God, which God says he wrote it into our hearts and into our minds. All right, did I get all the answer to that, Jan?
Yes, that's all. I have no others.
Okay. All right. Let me see if I got anything else before we move on. Okay, I guess that brings us to the end of that. So again, you know, we want to go forward with this case, so we need some, you know, we need money. It's been really difficult trying to just keep bills paid, but we're going to need a couple of $1,000 to file all these papers, so people consider, you know, giving us a donation this month over and above what you normally give us. And those who aren't giving at all, please consider giving us $5 a month or more, and maybe an extra, you know, donation, $20, $50 or something to help pay the cost for this court case. This is an important court case, and it's going to cost us $410. I know they're going to hit us for the money on this one. They do not want us in the courts. We'll pay it, and we'll sue them for it. And then, of course, the cost of putting all these papers together, sending it out to 50 states, two houses, the U.S. Supreme Court, and, of course, the filing in the court itself. Okay, and we will post everything up online so people can view all the paperwork as we go along, and we'll give reports as the case goes through. We'll probably give a you know, just an update on the court case. I don't know how often, maybe weekly if we can, depending on how active it gets. And I'm sure at some point in time it's going to get very active. Okay, I think that's all I got. So is Gerard here?
No, I haven't seen him yet.
Okay, let me move over to Q&A. Star 6 to get into the Q&A. If you got a question or a comment or something, mics are open. Get into the Q&A. Okay, let's take first person, Stephanie from South Dakota. Go right ahead.
South Dakota, Stephanie? Hi. God bless.
Yeah, how you
guys.
Doing?
Good. How you doing?
Thank you.
I was gonna let you guys know out here in South Dakota. Well, Jan's been posting about it. The Native Americans and Indigenous people are fighting the pipeline out here, and they're standing with Red Rock, and they really need some help. I sent the address over to Jan, and the nations are coming from across the world here, internationally and nationally, where they're coming together, standing at Standing Rock. And then Shailene Woodsley, she's the actress on Divergent. She got arrested up there. I watched about an hour and a half of her stuff, and I saw where they arrested her, and it was peaceful protest. And I think like 123 people have been arrested in, and that's I'm sure there's a lot more than that now. And then there was a gal that put a call out today that said that that they were locked, that they couldn't get out of camp, and that was not correct. That to come to the camp, and that they wanted to send out a shout out to the BIA. Because they stopped some sniper from getting one of their people, but they're shoving, you know, these young girls' face in the dirt, and it's insane what's going up there. And what'd you think?
Yeah, I'm not aware of what exactly is going on up there. Jen, do we have any insight on this story? And is there anybody really working on this? Is there anything that you think we might be able to get involved in and bring it into our court case?
I've been gathering up some of the URLs for some of the documentation that's going on, but we have not started transcribing anything at this point.
Do we know exactly where I presume this is, what is this, private corporations doing something? Is the federal government working with them? Is this something, is a clear violation? Do we know anything exactly from the legal perspective?
From here, it's the Native Americans' land, and
yeah,
the government's trespassing on it.
Oh, yeah, they can't go on Native Americans' land. If they don't want to cross it, they can't cross it. They're sovereign.
Yeah. But
we can step in on that. No, we can get into that.
Yeah.
We need to get into that.
They bulldozed their way through some of the sacred sites and the buried pipe there and so on. It's a real disaster. They've imported sheriffs from, I believe it was Wisconsin, about 60 of them, either sheriffs or policemen, went out and, you know, they do their traditional pepper spray and beating up a few people. And
God, I hope it's not sheriffs doing this.
Well, I kind of think it was sheriffs from Wisconsin. Do you remember, Stephanie, when it was sheriffs or policemen? I thought it was sheriffs.
It was both sheriffs and policemen. And
okay.
The sheriffs that arrested Shailene up there was from North Dakota.
And didn't the governor call the National Guard out, too, the other day?
Right.
Okay, if we can get someone to spearhead this that would like to bring this information to us, and we can have a conference and explain to them exactly what it is we need in order to bring it into a court case, and anybody that wants to spearhead this and chase down that information and maybe work with others, get a group of people going, get kind of a committee, and gather the necessary evidence we need. You know, we can't just tell a story in the court and just move on. You know, no, we have to prove the story. You know, everything we speak about in our papers is concerning rights and authorities and facts, and we have footnotes that prove every point we make. When we go and make an accusation against someone, we need documentation, particularly a sworn affidavits, and so. Anybody that wants to spearhead this, get a hold of Jan, let him know, and we'll try to put together a meeting with a few of us and kind of lay the ground rules of what we need.
I'll do that. This is Stephanie, because I've been watching it, and that's right here, and we've already been fighting against the pipeline, and it ties all the federal money together with schools, the pipeline, keep people's kids away, taking the sovereign property, so I can do that and get a hold of Jan, and I've got those folks' phone number up at Red Rock, and so I'll get a hold of them as well.
All right, get a hold of them. See if you can get a group of people. Like, if you got people that are involved in the thing, if you can bring them onto the call, talk to Jan. Jan will work out some kind of, you know, times that I'd be available, and Gerard will be available, and maybe others, and then we'll have a meeting, and whoever you can pull together to work with us. And then we'll lay out what exactly we're going to need. We'll try to be as specific as we can. But remember, a story doesn't do anything. A newspaper story is not documentation. You can't take a newspaper and lay it up in court as evidence. You can get the story from the newspaper, and then you can do the investigation and run it down and certify things and documents and bring proof of the case. And with that, we can then take into court. So get a hold of Jan, and we'll try to set up a point in time where we can talk. Okay.
Great.
I'll talk to you tomorrow, Jan, and let you know what is the best availabilities for me.
Yeah.
For any
Stephanie. Just a reminder, Stephanie, we've got at least three Jans here now, so please send the information to me. If you're using my email, just use the one at nationallibertyalliance.org, or I think you have my phone number as well. Okay.
Okay, I will. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Sure.
Okay, thank you. Okay, let's take our next caller, Ron, it looks like, from California.
John, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, referring to the document that you just read on page 7 of 8, paragraph 1, line 2, I think there's an excess of they in there. After footnote 32, in other words, it says, it comes after footnote 31, become liable for damages, and here's the phrase, and lose any immunity they have. Oh, I'm sorry, they have. Is that what you mean? It seemed like there were too many they.
What paragraph is
sure.
this? I'm on page 7 now. What paragraph?
Top paragraph. Paragraph 1, the top one.
It should say they will lose any immunity they may have had.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, they may have had, yes. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Well, you know whose fault that is, right? We all know whose fault Jan, you here?
Yeah, I'm okay. Here. I'm here.
Well, see, Jan okay, knew right away what it should be. See? Yeah. Okay, that's good. And I don't know if I had to step away briefly, but that's I did catch this one. I don't know if there's a typo somewhere else. Possibly. I just wanted to. I noticed that one.
Right.
And
well, if
there,
anybody
there
else
you
catches,
have it.
If anybody else catches any typos or whatever, you know, you can get that information to Jan, and he'll help me make sure I correct it.
Yep.
Before we post the final. And these papers are preliminary papers. You know, they're not the final papers, and, you know, they're going to be sewed together, so to speak, and there's other papers that will be attached to them to make one case. But we didn't want to read this out all at one time, all of these papers. You know, we got more papers to read, and so every week we'll read a paper or two, depending on how long they are, and then we'll be filing the whole. But to read the whole at one time would be quite long. So, but okay, thanks. Anything else?
You're welcome. That's it.
Okay, thank you.
You bet.
Okay, let's take our next caller. Let's see, Robert. Oh, that's just a VoIP dialer. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, John, Jan. This is Robert, NLA.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay. I'm involved, as you know, running for sheriff under common law here in my county.
Right.
I've been in two forums so far. I've got a follow-up with about six questions pertaining to, you know, if you get to be sheriff, what changes would you make, blah, 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 blah. I'm going to send you guys a copy. I'm going to use part of your document that we read tonight to answer a few of the questions. And I'll go through it part way. But also, I want to mention, too, Stephanie, if you will get into my sheriff's page, you'll find the one about the Coast Guard or out of Cleveland. Not saying that, yes, the government does not have any permission to go through that land and especially cross the river. And I posted that today. I have several other posts on there pertaining to part of that out in Dakota. So, John, I just want to say, if it's all right, if I, but before I put anything in writing as a reply to the forum of this county concerning possible sheriff election, I'll get it to you and Jan, and we can get together and have a little conference on it.
Right. Also, what you might want to do, and anybody else that's running for sheriff, you know, what they could do is get a hold of Jan and see if you can get a list of anybody within their counties that are NLA members and give them their phone numbers and then call them up and, you know, make sure they know that they're running for sheriff there in their county.
Okay. We can do that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and we'll keep an eye on that right up to election to see if anybody new joins. You know, we'll take a second look right before the election. I don't know, maybe 2 days before the election, a day before the election, and see if anybody new has joined that is in your counties, and we'll get them to you, and you can give them a call and let them know that you're running for sheriff and so on. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So
very good.
Richard
thank you.
Up there in New England, also running for sheriff. You know, he should do the same thing. I'm sure he's listening in tonight. But give Jan a call, and we'll give you a list of anybody that's in that county up there. We'll keep an eye open. It's up to you guys to follow up with Jan a couple of days before the election to make sure you get the finalized list.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else, Robert?
No, that covers it.
Okay, thank you. Okay, let's take our next caller. Jan from Kansas. Anybody else wants to get into the queue, star 6? Not that many people in the queue tonight, so tonight's a good night.
Yeah, what's
Jan
the name of
Kansas.
That paper? Yeah, hi, John. What's the name of that paper or the title of the paper that you read tonight?
Yeah, the paper that I read tonight, for right now it's titled Power and Authority. And last week's paper was called Redress of Grievances. That's really the case is a redress of grievances. But anyway, that was last week's paper. And the one pager we looked at tonight also was called the Statement of Jurisdiction. So those three pages, particularly Power of Authority, Redress of Grievances. Power of Authority was tonight. Redress of Grievances was last week. Statement of Jurisdiction, we looked at quickly tonight. It was only three small paragraphs, A, B, and C.
Okay.
For statements.
Okay. You've really got it wrapped up. I mean, I think you got everything in there. It's just, it almost made me cry listening to it. It was brilliant.
Yeah, and we went through the Constitution to try to cover every base to really make a, to see. And you know what? Every word in that Constitution is being violated by every single congressman, every single senator, every judge, the president. Our entire government is just violating that Constitution at every single level. They've done the exact opposite of what this Constitution has commanded them to do. And I hope that they're able, you know, these people, they say, especially the judge, oh, I don't understand. It doesn't make sense. This is not the way to do things. You know, who cares about that? You know, they're not reading the paper. Well, maybe they're reading the paper and they don't want to hear it. You know, the truth hurts sometimes, you know. And hopefully, maybe that's what it is. The truth is hurting them. But hopefully there'll be elected individuals who will get this paper that are just sleeping and walking in dreamland and will realize, wait a second here, look at this, point by point by point by point, nothing. We're not doing anything according to what we have been commanded to do by the people. We got to fix this problem.
Yes, I agree. And that is so clear. It's just, it was really, well, I already said it. And then the other thing is that I know you don't need more cases, or I just want to throw this in there, because if, like what Stephanie was talking about, if that starts taking up momentum where the NLA gathers together all these infractions on groups of people, one that I wanted to mention that I'm aware of is that the people up in the Olympia, Washington Peninsula area, they're testing electronic weapons up there in the Olympia, Washington Peninsula area, on the water, the mammals in the water, on the land, the flora and fauna, and on the people. And the people up there have been protesting for over a year. I'm not sure where they're at with it now, but I've been aware of it for a year. And that's another group of people who are just totally being violated. I mean, I don't have a contact with them. I'm just aware of it. But anyway, I'll get off and let somebody else.
We can take on as many cases as people can bring to us, providing that they are willing to help spearhead the investigation to bring us the evidence so we can pull the evidence together, the documentation, write the paper, and file it within the court. I mean, we'll file a case every single day, or two cases every single day. We'll spend our whole time doing that. That's what we need to be doing. But someone has to be out there doing the footwork. You know, it takes a lot of work and reading and studying to put a case together, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as far as the law side, the legal side, the Constitution, you know, what common law is and all the things that we've got, you know, that has taken a long time of education and also the School of Hard Knocks to put these things together, to try to verbalize it in a way that, you know, people can understand it and make sense of it and stay on the law. And the law is really simple in plain language, really, as Jefferson has said. None of us have a problem understanding what we're reading here. This is clear stuff, and yet this is the law. And so this is this, we've got this already, you know, sort of the law we've got together. You know, we could take any case and write it up and put it into the case. But we need documents. We need we need affidavits. We need and we'll explain to anyone that wants to spearhead a case. We'll explain exactly what it is we're looking for. Now, we've spent a lot of time. We can go back and forth, and we've done this with some people, but they've never bring the documentation, so we never get the case in, and we never get it done. So the case is not going to get done unless the people that are helping us get us what we need. So
okay.
We can't do the research and the paper writing and everything together. There's just not enough hours in a day. We need people to help us. So yeah, if you can gather whatever information, maybe find a partner, maybe you'll make a few phone calls, talk to people who will maybe give you an affidavit, and then you can say, hey, can you help us get more, and we'll work together to help bring this into the courts to deal with this problem, and so on and so forth. And you know, you might get two or three people out there that'll start working with you and bring it together. So if you want to try to do that, go right ahead and see what you can do.
Okay, well, I don't have any contacts, but I will look into it because I think it's really important. They asked them, the people of Olympia, Washington area, asked them to move to the desert where they wouldn't be hurting the living creatures and the people, and they refused to do it. And so the people just surmised, you know, that that was because they want to see what kind of damage it's going to do. But that was just, you know, their surmising of why they wouldn't move it. And the other thing is, I haven't joined NLA yet, but I'm going to join, and I wanted to issue a challenge. I want to put in $100 for the $410 that's needed, you know, to have for backup, and I want to issue a challenge to get that raised maybe tonight. So the first $100
that
is covered.
Okay. All right, I appreciate that. Anybody else
thank
that wants
you.
To... Okay, thank you. To make a commitment to help raise the money needed, you know, please make a statement. Okay, thanks, Jan. Let's go to
You're
our
welcome.
Next caller, Dan out there in Montana, it looks like. Go right ahead, Dan.
Yeah, I don't know everything what's going on with the Indian stuff in North Dakota, but I've heard that some of the locals are not having a problem with the protests, so... Maybe some more investigation should be done there before we jump hard on that.
Mm-hmm. And we're talking about that tribal problem where they're trying to come across the land.
Yeah,
even if the local people around it wasn't for helping the Indian nation or protecting them or whatever the case may be, it's irrelevant. The law is the law. They cannot go. They are a sovereign people. They cannot go on their land without their permission. And if they don't give them permission, they need to go around it. They can't go through it. And that's that. There's nothing else to talk about. These people are Nazis. We know what the BLM is doing out there. Oh, I wonder who's controlling this. I wonder if the BLM is involved in this too. You know, does anyone know? Is this property up against federal, what they claim to be federal property territory? And then running into the Indian land, is that what the situation is? Does anyone know? Because if that is the case, that's probably what's going on. And I'd love to get the name of these sheriffs. You know, we need to write letters of shame to them. Who the hell do they think they are? How is it that they can stand up against the Constitution, against the people, and violate the law? You know, we need to really beat these sheriffs up a bit.
I've
we want to befriend them as much as possible, but we need to beat them up, too, when it's necessary.
There's rumor that there's infiltrators like there was at Malheur Preserve that were causing the trouble.
So there's
just
always
caution,
infiltrators.
We need to protect sovereignty, but just a word of caution, I guess.
Yeah, appreciate that. Yeah,
okay.
No, there's always infiltrators. It's always the same thing. Everyone beware, you know. If you're involved in the liberty movement anywhere and you get some meetings going, beware. Be careful who you're talking to. Because,
thank you, John.
Okay, thank you. Because they do infiltrate everywhere. I had a guy that I think was a federal agent. He showed up quickly and he disappeared quickly, and it was very strange. And, you know, he knew nothing. Everything was new to him, but he accepted everything very quickly. And so that kind of put a flag up on him, and he kind of attached himself to me for quite some time. And that's when we were doing the committee man thing before we got into the grand jury. But anyway, okay, let's take our next caller. 415 number, I don't have a name.
Can you hear me?
Yes, first name and state.
It's Jeremiah. I'm here in California, rainy California. Greetings.
Okay, you're not here. You're there. I'm here. You're there. Okay? Let's get that straight. Dead.
I was actually, I just missed my, I'm just trying to bring some questions for you. I wanted to ask you one question. I have a couple others too. The first one is this. Okay, look, I notice in the letters that you're writing a style of a massive union of people, basically as a nationwide common law grand jury. This is something that is not, you don't really find, you don't really find writings about this type of grand jury that you're describing, well, that I just described. Any literature regarding grand juries always comes back to community and the effect on the community of the grand jury, and the effect that has been lost because of all of the bureaucracy, in the sense that, you know, everything's become so mixed and discombobulated, you know, that the effect of a community's strength is no longer felt. So I was hoping that you could clarify for the people your this idea a little clear, you know, for me maybe also, mm-hmm. because the idea that I get from what you're saying is that, yeah, you're coming in the name of the people as an organization, but so this is something new then, right?
Well, look at, you know, right to assemble. So we'll use that word, assemble. Assemble is a good word. So we're an assembly.
Hey, you know,
we don't want to be an organization. We don't want to be a corporation. We don't want to be a trust. We don't want to be any of those. We want to be the people. And we speak with we the people. And we do have the authority of we the people because we are national. We are in every single state. We are stemming out to many, many counties. That we eventually will get into every county. But we have lots of people in lots of counties and lots of states. And this is the whole point. You know, we couple of things I realized,
right.
And some of this stuff came to us as we were moving forward and putting this together. We kind of had an idea. There was always a vision of what we're doing and where we're going. But all of a sudden, new things would come up and say, let's do that too. Let's do this. You know, we came up with the realization at the beginning, for instance, we realized, well, let's go out and get all of the counties to agree. So let's physically go to these counties and let's get the people in the counties, whether they join up with us or not, get people in the counties to meetings, and let's reinstate the common law grand jury in that county. And we did that in all 3,143 counties.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, there are we went to places where we would do 5 or 6 or 8, 10 counties at a time, try to make it reasonable in location and so on. Here in New York, we hit almost every county, but we hit the borderlines of certain counties and people came together. Connecticut was pretty simple for us. We worked with Connecticut and we went out there. We did 2 meetings in Connecticut. We hit the whole state and we hit Rhode Island all at the same time. So it was 2 meetings and we hit because of the way that state is lined up and the way the counties meet, we were able to do that. So that was one of the things we did. And of course, that grew and grew and grew, and we watched as each state came on board, one state after another. And I remember waiting, you know, we got 10 states, 30 states, 40 states, 48 states, and finally 50 states, you know, and then you move to the next goal, what it is you're trying to do. We understood that in order to call ourselves We the People, we had to be We the People. We can't be We the People here in New York representing the whole nation. It's got to be We the People everywhere. And because we have 50 states alone, just on its own, we need at least 50 people involved in this
jury
thing.
Let me interject, please, because this is where I think you're onto something new and different and special, is that it's never been done before like this, and it's because of the changing times with the advent of the Internet and the way that people are connecting nowadays that, you know, you have so much more connectivity, you know, within this country between the people of the different states, you know? So
we're doing the Magna Carta thing.
Yeah, it's fantastic and phenomenal, but I want to remind that the effect of what you're really trying to do is have some effects of the grand jury be felt in a particular community somewhere, and I wanted to make sure that we knew that was going to be looked at with some it's a heightened level of scrutiny. It's considering the fact that it's never been tried. This has never been pledged.
Yeah, well, remember one thing, though. We're the people. Who makes the law? We make the law. We could do whatever we want. Our founding fathers got together. They created a nation. They studied history. They tried to figure things out. They hammered things together, and they came up with a plan. And that's a lot of what we're doing here and what we have done. We've hammered a lot of things out. We've created a plan. We're not just doing things totally haphazardly, but sometimes we head in one direction, and all of a sudden something jumps up and kind of tweaks our direction a little bit because we realize, wow, we got to do this. So, you know, all those things come up, and we pray for guidance. We believe we're being guided. You know, we're doing the right thing, mm-hmm. the best thing, and the right thing we can do. And so we have to come from every state. You know, go back into the beginning. There was 13 colonies. All 13 colonies were represented, and they did that through the committees of safety. Now, we're doing the same thing with committees of safety to bind us together, but we're already established in a different way, and we're also taken into the courts because our salvation and taking back this nation is ultimately going to be in the courts. That's where we're going to win our country back. The power of the pen, the revelation of sin on the paper in the light for the world to see. And we have to hit critical mass for that to be finally exposed and really, you know, kind of just
you
finalized.
Said that before. But, I understand. I've heard that. A lot of people have said right, you've said that.
But
listen, can you ask this? Can an alien...
We have to come up. Let me just finish this last point. Even though you may have heard this, maybe others haven't. You know, we got 50 states. We need to represent all 50 states. We indeed can and do say we are the people. We are the people who are conscious, woken up, and we're everywhere. We're not just the people of New York and Jersey. No, we're the people of all 50 states. And everyone has that opportunity to come to the meetings. Everybody has that opportunity to come when we're going to be calling soon, very soon, a grand jury meeting. And everybody's going to have the opportunity to come. Whoever wants to come, comes. Usually get a couple of hundred. Love to see a couple of thousand. But Baron, let me just finish this one point, though, and this is the most important thing.
Sure. Yeah.
We are in this thing only for one reason and one reason only, to deal with subversion against the United States from enemies, both foreign and domestic. And that's the only case we're dealing with. And every one of these cases that we pull in is subversion against the people. And we're making that point by collecting these cases across the nation, their resistance to due process by denying habeas corpus and also denying jurisdiction. So this is the thing we're going to sit on, and we're not going to leave until we finally deal with this problem and finally get to the point where we get these people to behave and obey the Constitution. That's when we can dismantle, and then all the grand juries across the nation hopefully will be organized enough in that time. People will be moving into the court to take position as administrators. We'll be training people on a heavier level, and then the people will have their grand juries locally right there for their local problems, whether it be federal or state. Go ahead.
John, you're right. You're right about that, because the local grand jury is where it's at. You know, it's not your direction from the common law, United States common law grand jury perspective is organizational in its nature, and I grasp what you're doing. And I think it's totally reliable. It's possible that what you're saying is going to have a massive effect in a good direction for people. But it's going to be crucial. I think that if the reports that come from the grand juries come from the communities and from the members of the particular community where the incident occurred. Now, it's okay that you organized those state bodies. That's fine that you got behind it. As long as the paperwork is coming directly from those communities, you should not have an issue. Okay.
Right.
Now,
the only way we can file it. It's got to come from the people involved in the situation.
That's right. Now, my question is, can an alien or a non-resident be on a jury in this country?
That's an alien or a non-resident. And you know, I don't know, non-resident, I don't even know what that really means. But someone who is a foreigner, can they get onto the grand jury? Is that the question?
Yeah, or on a jury, a grand jury or a petite jury, can they serve in that type of capacity?
Yeah, I never thought about that. Well, you know, off the top of my head, I would say no, but I also want to be careful and say, well, I need to meditate about that for a little bit. Off the top of my head, I say I don't think so. But ask me next week. I'll think about that.
Great. I appreciate that. Last question here. Let's see. Oh, it's regarding the voting fraud. Okay. I've read that when private people perform acts that ordinarily have to do with states' rights or states' obligations or states' duties, that there's an intertwinement or entanglement, and ultimately those private persons' actions become state actions. So if the voting fraud is viable, is real, then there's going to be some private people from the several states that were actually involved in the fraud, and the grand juries from those communities ultimately, you know, would be, I mean, there's other ways of solving the problem that I just thought about, but besides coming through a grand jury, I mean, there's ways of going through multi-district jurisdiction, you know, and way court system like that, like, you know, having multi-district litigation. But with the grand jury...
That problem will be solved ultimately by the committees of safety, because you got to realize something.
Mm-hmm.
If we need to continue to push committees of safety. We need to develop them. We need to get them in every county. They need to be prepared for emergencies, and they bind the people together, get them focused in on the chain of command in an emergency, and they come to understand the power and the authority of the sheriff. And even if nothing happens, they've done a huge thing. But at some point in time, when we get into the courts and we start to take this nation back and start bringing these people to justice, okay, then at that point in time, the committees of safety will morph back into where they belong, which they will take the positions of the committeemen. Now, the committeemen will take control of all that. There is a process and procedure we found here in New York, and I'm sure it's in all of the states have a way. If you go back into your history, you'll find a way to vote to count. You know, we've got all this electronic stuff, and everybody wants to make it easy, but it's dangerous. No, votes need to be counted by hand in public within the district itself, certified by more than one person, witnessed by more than one person in such a way that it cannot
be cheated
upon. And once you have that certification and you hand that chain of command up the ladder, and if it's protected, you will get a very accurate and real voting process. We will reinstate that process. New York has a process that probably is used by every other state anyway, and this goes back 100 years. We had to go back into history. You're not going to find it in our law today, but we've got the copy of the law going back 100 years ago, and they showed very precisely on how the vote is counted. And you cannot cheat. And they were very specific. They were very careful on how to do this. So that will be fixed in the future. The question is what about
and
now?
That's all too.
You know, there are two things we can kind of rest upon. One is we can rest upon God, that he's going to make the right thing happen. Okay, so whatever's going to happen, it's his business ultimately. We can only do the right thing before us and just go forward. He needs to set the stage and make things happen. He's the one that brings things up and brings things down. So we're going to rely on him to do that work. The other side of this thing also, you know, remember, God uses anybody and everybody, whether things are good or bad, all things work together for those who believe. So even the dumbass will do the will of the Lord. I mean, we have stories of that in the Bible, and that point is made that the dumbass, even he obeys. So even no matter who the person is, they're going to obey, and they're going to do the thing. You know, this guy Trump that's running for president, we know him very well here in New York, but in any event, this guy running for president, Trump, he made a statement. This guy does not talk out of the side of his mouth. When he says something, he does fulfill it. He's always been that way. He's a real hard ass. And he said, you know, he was asked, you know, are you going to accept the voting of the count? You know, the count of the voting. He says, well, as long as I win, I'm going to accept it. Because he understands what's going on, okay? And that was the best answer he could have given, because that puts them on notice. You know, they pushed Ron Paul and prevented him from going to do a recount because he would have caught the fraud. And a lot of others that have tried to thought about doing it but never did, because they're not powerful enough to fight push back against these people. This guy is powerful enough to push back against these people. This guy will fulfill his words. This guy will go and investigate. He will unfold it, and he will show it. So that helps them, helps to prevent them from doing, it makes them think twice before they do the fraud, okay? And they're going to, look, they're gonna trip up on their own anyway, so it doesn't matter. But we'll fix this problem. And, but it's not a problem that we could fix right now. But I do want to respond before I take the next caller to the question you asked me about the foreigner on a grand jury. And I thought a little bit about that, and I realized a couple of things. Let's take a person. Let's say you're in whatever county you are in Jersey, okay? And someone from Connecticut is visiting you, and they're staying at your house for 6 months or whatever. They're going back to Connecticut. They're not moving. They're not a resident of New Jersey, but they're going back to Connecticut. Can they sit on the jury? And the answer to that is no. You see, they have to be a peer, which means you have to be, we'll use the word resident for lack of a better word, you know, a resident of the county. So from that standpoint, they have to be a resident of the county. Now, if a person is a foreigner from a foreign country, they're sort of still in transit. Even if they've been there for 6 months, if they haven't made the move to become, a resident, citizen of the nation, in order to be a citizen of the state, in order to be a resident of the county, until that point comes, then they couldn't sit on the grand jury. So that would be my answer, I think. I think it's pretty logical from that perspective. Okay. All right. Let's take our next caller. It'll be, let's see, it looks from Missouri. Is that Melissa? Go right ahead.
Hi, John. How are you?
Good.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay.
We can hear you. Go right ahead.
Yeah. I wanted to call your attention to your paper. I found a couple of errors in it, a couple of major ones, actually. So, the power and the authority paper on page 5.
Okay.
On paragraph 3, I believe it is. Yeah. You have the Magna Carta. What's a Magna Carta?
I'm sorry, what is what?
What is a Magna Carta?
You've never heard of the Magna Carta?
It's misspelled.
Yes.
Oh, it's misspelled. Okay.
Yeah, that's okay.
All right. Well, I'm sure Jan is making notes on this, and we'll work this out tomorrow. Is that correct, Jan?
Right. Got him.
Okay. So Jan will be keeping notes on any of these corrections, or if anybody else has corrections and they want to get to us tomorrow, the next day, feel free to do that, and we'll make these corrections.
Yeah. Page 8. I also found a mistake.
Okay.
Where you have that it elevates them to principal, and you have it spelled P-R-I-N-C-I-P-L-E.
Okay.
And then in the 18 U.S. Code 2 is P-R-I-N-C-I-P-A-L.
Okay. And
so
the proper one is the one that's in the code, right? Obviously.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we'll fix that.
Yeah, those are both two major ones, I think, so.
Okay.
Yep. That's all I had.
I see it. Okay. PLE and PAL. Okay.
Yep. 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 That's all I
all right.
had. Let somebody else talk. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Let's take our next caller. It looks like, is that David, a VoIP dialer? Got a VoIP dialer? Unmuted? Well, maybe they're not on the user. Let's try that. David, are you there from VoIP coming in on a browser? David? Okay, going once. David on a VoIP dialer. Going twice. Let me try. Did you try to unmute them, Jen?
Yeah, I just unmuted him again after you muted him just to see if it would make a difference for him.
Okay, yeah, I tried unmuting him too. Well, let me try it again. David, are you there? Last call for David. Okay, we'll move on. Next person is Brad, VoIP dialer again. Go right ahead, Brad.
How you doing, John?
Good, thank you.
John, a lot of papers have gone out.
Yeah, go ahead.
Maurer Wildlife Refuge, if you had a hand in that or not?
I'm sorry, say this all over again. I didn't get anything you said. The Wildlife Refuge, I got that. Papers going out. Go ahead.
There was supposed to be like a big announcement. Did it have anything to do with the wildlife
well,
refuge?
I think we've had some influence out there. They knew we were here. We wrote them papers. We told them we were watching. We wrote a few papers in the beginning. We did the habeas corpus. We put them on notice. But we wanted to get more involved, but we were limited to involvement by the people who would get us documents. You know, a lot of the people out there really work and trying to do things. They don't understand or didn't understand how things work. And they didn't understand, you know, look, we can do a lot and we can say a lot. We can write some pretty good papers, I think. And we can put a little of the fear of the people in these judges and marshals and other people involved here. But in order to do that, we can't just write words and read stories and respond to news articles. We need affidavits, and we need to attach these affidavits. So without affidavits, there was a lot of papers we wanted to write. We never got around to writing because we didn't have the people to write affidavits for us. We had people who wanted us to do these things, and they said they would help us, but then the affidavits just never came forward. But we did involve ourselves with enough. I do think we had some influence. I think that we put a little bit of fear and concern at the fact that we're watching them. We told them we're watching them. And we are going to follow up anyway because we're going after that judge. Because if anybody committed high treason, that judge committed high treason.
Okay, well, I've been watching Inform New Hampshire. I watch that show pretty regularly. And they talk about that that guy who's out there. He's been incarcerated. They actually came to New Hampshire and picked him up and put him in jail. And he's been in jail for a year now. I think his name is Jerry.
Okay.
What's the status on him? I'm sure you got affidavits. Right.
Yeah, we did a habeas corpus on quite a few people. I think we got them all, but I can't say we didn't. I depend upon the people who were out there getting the names and putting the things together to give us the information, the raw details, and whatever documentations we can get so that we could write the papers and file them. And so I think we got them in there. If we don't, anybody can go out and look at the habeas corpuses that we wrote. They're posted up on the grand jury page, so they can go up there and look to see if an individual's name is in there. And if they're not, then we could do another habeas corpus for them.
Is Inform New Hampshire? I mean, before they start their show, they say who they are. They're the state coordinators for National Liberty Alliance. I mean, these guys are the big guys for New Hampshire, then, I assume, correct?
Right. They're involved people. They've got kind of their own TV program going. They talk about what's going on in New Hampshire. This is what everybody should be doing in their states. And their state coordinators with us. They're involved with us. Richard's running for sheriff out there. We're supporting that effort. Richard, I put the word out tonight. I think he's listening tonight. If not, he'll probably listen in tomorrow on this recording. And we'll talk to him anyway, one way or the other. You know, we'll get the names of all the people in the county that are members of ours and get him their names and phone numbers and information so that he can call them up and solicit them for their vote and maybe get them involved more and get others to vote for him to let him know that, hey, we got a constitutional sheriff running for office. What they're doing out there, I wish every state coordinator would do. They need to get involved in their own local business, which is none of our business, it's their business. And that's what we're trying to stimulate, people getting involved in the local. Because at the end of the day, that's what this whole thing is all about. It's about grassroots. It's not about National Liberty Alliance, and it's not about the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. It's about we, the people, at the grassroots level. We truly are trying to stimulate, grow, educate, bring to communications and organizations, all these grassroots individuals on all of these counties and states, where the people will actually really get up and do the right thing and get involved. our job here will be to facilitate that possibility to organize, communicate, and to educate. And that's the key to this whole thing. As Jefferson said, if you educate the people, they'll know what to do. And that's what National Liberty Alliance is all about, is to educate the people. Even though we've taken controls on the upper level through the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury in order to spearhead the whole program, we have to do that because we have the education, we have the knowledge, we've got the experience in the courts, and someone's got to do it, and that's what we're doing. But we work with a lot of different people in different ways and different levels on different cases and whatever way we can. But our intention ultimately and our motto is as the people start to become more and more educated and involved, the people must increase and NLA must decrease. We need to eventually get back to the point where we're just facilitators. That day will come when subversion against the United States of America has been addressed, and these people, these tyrants, have been brought before courts of justice. At that point in time, then we don't need the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury in action anymore. And as long as the people are doing their job on a local end level, we'll never need it again because they won't permit it to get to where it's at. It's all about education. We'll start a movement, and we got a lot of plans for writing books and doing different things, working in schools, getting curriculas and education going in the lower schools and right up into the colleges, the high school and the colleges, the grammar schools, everything. You know, we've got a lot of plans, a lot of ideas, but it's all about educating and informing. Because if you inform the people and you educate the people, and if you educate the people in common law, you're bringing morality into their life, and therefore the heart becomes purer and that light is brighter, and you'll get the right thing going on at the local level. That's what we want to get to, the right thing going on at the local level, without our manipulation in any way.
That's beautiful, and I support everything that you're saying, John. And locally, I mean, I live in a small town. My town's pretty much okay. I don't have a problem here. What I have a problem with at this point right now, though, I'm a combat vet, okay? And I see my nation, just like you just said, the subversion. I mean, treason being committed in this country. All right? It's not going to affect me immediately, but it's going to affect my kids for generations and generations to come. And I see patriots today, right now, that are falling because they're in a fight. I understand, and it's a beautiful thing, and I wish and I hope and I pray that your tactics are going to work. But these people have no morals. They have no law. They don't follow rules like people that do fear God. They will rip your head off, and I am not even going to finish that. They have no regard for life. And that is what we're dealing with right now, John. And these papers that you're writing, I believe I wish nothing but the best of luck. And I will continue to support the NLA financially, okay? But
well, we appreciate that.
It's really been stepped up here, and it's not going to be they have gone too far. And
yeah.
I'm these are my grandkids. These are my kids that we're talking about. You know what I mean?
Right.
We're all going to
exactly.
die. We are all going to pay a price of death. We all have to die.
Right. But you know, bear in mind a couple of things.
Or a bad death.
I cannot lay down
and allow this. And there's
well,
a lot.
We got to step up and do something. But go ahead, finish off.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. You know. Look at. You. I understand what you're saying. Try to take it from another perspective. Okay. We're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against
principalities,
against spiritual wickedness and evil in high places. Okay.
Yes.
And we're going not only.
Huh? We need to understand that definition that you just described. That's what
absolutely.
We're dealing with. They do not read papers. They do
right.
not read our papers. They do.
Yeah, but we don't care. you know what, they'll hear the echoes of the words. The power of the pen is amazing. You'd be surprised at the power of the pen. Maybe you already know, but if you don't know it, one day you'll be surprised and you'll understand the power of the pen. But the power of the pen has got to be put in the right place. We'll put it in the right place.
I'm a peaceful man. I'm a peaceful man. And I'm a God-fearing man. But you can't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining. Because that's what's going on right now. I mean, this media is corrupt. You know, I knew this before this election, okay? I mean, this has been a pattern. The enemy is so stupid, okay? They are stupid, okay? Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it. They have no intelligence about them. I mean, to leave the evidence on a pedophile's freaking computer, okay? How stupid are you, all right? Even a common criminal would not make that mistake. So we're not.
Yeah, they can't help themselves. They always hang
with people with no moral value whatsoever, and they will take the low road every time. They will trample the rights of the people. They will cut you up and spit you out, and then drink their cappuccino, and not even think twice. That is the level of evil. Of principalities that we're dealing with here.
Mm-hmm.
So
well,
the prayer that needs to be is for the patriots that are going to fight the fight because it's coming.
Mm-hmm. Well, bear in mind, again, let's get back to where we're at and who we're fighting. You know, this is a spiritual war. We look out and we see darkness. We see doom and gloom. You know, we're at the precipice. I mean, anybody who doesn't understand we're at the precipice, then they're not paying attention. They're still sleeping. They're the proverbial ostrich with their head in the sand. Anybody who's got their head out of their sand and looks around is nothing but darkness. And we're at that precipice, and there's nowhere to go. We're up against
a pit that is something is wrong. If you don't even, if you're not even educated, if you have any moral sense about you, you just know in your stomach something is wrong. So there are no people with their heads in the sand. None.
Well, there are some.
I believe.
Believe me, there are some. I can show you a lot of people that sit there with their games and stuff. They have no idea. No, there's people with their games. They haven't got a clue. 30, 40 years old even, you know, but usually younger than that. They play their games. They move from one silly thing to another silly thing, and they're not paying attention at all. And that's ultimately at all levels anyway. I mean, I know even people that are older than that, that have a different mentality, and they're lost in a different way. But look, here's the bottom line. This war cannot be won by the people themselves, you know. First of all, to save this nation, it's going to take we the people. But it's not going to take all of we the people. It's going to take just a small number of 8%. We the people, which will be a critical mass. But here's the point. The point is this. This movement that we've got going here should be drawing God's children. Because we talk about God, we start off with the Bible, we make the point that we're a godly nation, we're a Christian nation. Common law is all about God's law, and you can't have it any other way. We've called upon God. Our founding fathers have put together, you know, the national seal as Moses crossing the Red Sea, or holding off with the fire, the Egyptians. Okay, it's all about God saving them, and that was the key. They depended on God to save them. They knew that they didn't have much of a chance against the big war machine of England. They didn't have much of a chance at all. They depended upon God. They were believers of that. I'm a believer of that. Most of the people in National Liberty Alliance, especially in the upper end, are believers in that. This is not going to be won by us. We only have to do one thing. It's a very simple thing. Just do the right thing every moment of your life. There's nothing more. You know, step up for people. You know, right now we're defending people by doing what we're doing with National Liberty Alliance. We're defending ourselves. We're defending our neighbors. We're defending people who are having problems in the courts. We're defending what is that which is right, okay? So that's all we have to do. Every moment of the day is a decision. And that's all it is a decision. And if you make the right decision and you keep moving on and you keep pressing towards the mark, the rest of the job needs to be done by God. Because you and I, ultimately, this is a war between God and Satan. And you and I and all the people of the world, all the people of the United States, whatever you want to take it, we cannot defeat Satan. Only God can do that. So we have to do our side by just doing the right thing and allow God to do and believe and trust that he's going to do the final thing. Look at, we read stories in the Bible where the ancient Israel, you know, is going up for war. They're concerned because they're going to be outnumbered. This is huge people that have come together, and they're going to be destroyed. God said, don't worry about it. Go up and over the mountain. I'll take care of business. And by the time they get up and over the mountain, they look down. Their enemies were all dead, laying down, just totally dead. The valleys were full of dead bodies. God turned their sword against themselves. And I think that's what's happening today. You know, this New World Order business is fractured. There is an argument and a debate going, some want to move forward quicker, some want to move slower, some are concerned, some want to take a different direction. You know, whatever is going on up there, I don't know, but there is a war going on up there too. And that may be very well their demise. And the fact that they may not be paying too much attention to us, they don't understand. They lose their minions in the court, they lose everything. We take the courts, we take everything. Game over. We've taken the king. It's done. So we take, that's what we got to do, is take the courts. We are that far, and I'm just holding my fingers up, you know, maybe an inch between it. We're that far from taking the courts. I can see it happening.
Absolutely.
Very soon.
John, I'm a man. I call in here on Mondays, okay, and I just look for just a sign of progress, okay? I'm not a learned man as far as the words, okay? I've been learning. I've took the civil service course. I've done the constitutional course, okay? I've been doing my part as far as me being educated, okay? But I've come to the analysis that we are dealing with a enemy of this nation that just has no more. The mindset that they have that we can't even fathom, that we couldn't even bring ourselves to think in the way that they think, okay? So what I'm looking for is just one little shred. You just held your fingers up. I'm assuming like this far apart between your
thumb.
Please give me that progress right now. Could you please just tell me something?
Well, look at what we hear is coming down from the court. The responses of some of these things. The fact that they don't respond is a huge statement.
No.
Their lack of response is a huge statement.
The fact that
we have filed papers in every court, they are required by law to file them. They refuse to file them. They don't want to file them. So what do they have to do if they don't file them? They got to send them back. They have not sent them back. They're stuck between a rock and a hard place.
This
thing builds up and builds up and builds up. We have filed 18 papers, and we're about to take all 18 of these papers to bring them into this court case that we're building here in Albany. We got this paper, which we're putting together. Then we're going to be drawing in all these other papers, and then we're going to be required, you know, by what authority do you have to ignore this? You know, it depends on how fast we feel we have to move at the time and how far we can go. We can go after the chief judges that have denied the habeas corpus. You take down one judge, and all the other judges will start shaking. I want to tell you, I read the Bible all the time, and I believe in what the Bible tells me. And I understand certain things about the end times. Most people who think they do, they're really lost by strange doctrines that people teach and a lot of craziness that goes on out there. But generally speaking, the bottom line, to go into the simplicity of things, okay? God speaks at the end times that the enemy of the people, the enemy of God, okay, at some point in time, that one person will chase 1,000. Because they think there's much more than what's happening. You know, God gave us an example when he chose 300 men to go up after a huge, huge army. You know, Israel had a great, huge army. And God says, no, I just want 300. That's all I want, just 300, okay? And these 300 went down, and the rest of the armies ran for their lives. They slaughtered them. Because they saw something more than the 300. I don't know what they saw. God doesn't tell us what they saw or what he did in their imaginations or in their minds. We have no clue. I really don't care what's in their imaginations or in their minds. But if we put the fear of God and the fear of the people into the hearts of these people, and they start to realize, whoa, things are getting close. I could be at the end of the rope soon. I'm about ready. I have not really covered my tracks because I believed they couldn't get to me. I thought I was an untouchable. You know, the fear starts to drive when they can't sleep. Okay, and we hear of these kind of things, little stories here or a little story there, or a person that is released from a jail here or there. We've had two successes or three successes where people were released from jail, you know, and the little things that happen. And again, the silence speaks volumes, and that is the key. As long as they continue with their silence and don't even send our papers back, I know we're kicking butt. We don't have to know the score. All we're going to know is one day we're going to wake up and one little soldier is going to fall here and another one over there, or judge, shall I say. The next thing you know, there's going to be more, and it's going to become a landslide. It's going to move across this nation, and then, you know, the masses will join in. And it can happen, you know. I don't know how and when or any of those things. I don't have a crystal ball, and I don't know the timing of things. But generally speaking, I know one thing, and there's only one simple thing I need to do to know. Do that which is right before you, and do with the work that is put before you. I never planned to be where I'm at. Here's where I'm at. So that my work is before me, I know what I got to do, and every decision has got to be a right decision. And it's in your life, no matter what it is, even your personal life or your public life, it doesn't matter. Just do the right thing. Very simple little things throughout the day. And everything else, God works out. We don't have to worry about it. And that's my strategy. But anyway.
The papers that are going to Albany, is that what you're talking about that you need $400 for?
Yeah, we're going to be filing the papers, $410 to file them, and then probably about $1,000 to get it all printed up, and the toner, and the papers, and the mailing, the envelopes, and the all the paper we need to do. We're going to certify these papers.
I'm going to match that lady's $100 this evening.
Appreciate that.
I haven't donated yet. So if these papers are the next thing that need to be done to bring this thing to fruition, then you got $100 from me.
Okay, and I appreciate it.
Challenge.
Okay, thank you. All right, Brad. You too. Godspeed. Okay, let's go to Fred. Let's see. This is California, Fred.
Hello, John. This is California, Fred.
How you doing?
Oh, just grand. And I'm so pleased to see your memorandums of law. But I wanted to make a comment. I believe we need memorandums of law for asset forfeiture and for people with property foreclosures, so they have a spelled out brief of what's required by law so they can submit it into their cases.
Okay, well, we are working on a property foreclosure case for taxes particularly. I mean, we've done some on mortgages, but we're working on one that we believe are going to be successful. It'll be sort of a plan on how to go about dealing with the problem. You know, once we're done, you could just take our paperwork and just change the basic information, because it's always the same stuff. But when we complete that, we'd release it. The question is, when would we release it and how fast? And because, you see, we have to be careful that they don't come out after us and start wasting our time for teaching, teaching law or something, you know, and try to get us for some crazy, stupid thing, which they would call subversion. So, you know, I see a lot of people that have gone through those kind of problems and ended up in the courts, and some of them in jail. So I try to be very careful with that stuff. You know, I'm not going to teach these things very specifically. Maybe by the time we're ready to let it go and put this information out, once we're in the courts, all that stuff is going to become irrelevant, because it's all illegal. They can't take your properties for mortgage foreclosures. They cannot do also a tax foreclosure. None of these foreclosures are illegal. None of them can be done. They're all unconstitutionally illegal. And what they do it is, even they have what's called the non-judicial foreclosure. They all do the non-judicial foreclosure. It doesn't matter whether your state is a non-judicial foreclosure state or not. New York is not a non-judicial foreclosure state, and yet they do non-judicial foreclosures in New York. They even just ignore the fact that the law isn't there for them even to provide that they could do a non-judicial foreclosure. But even if there was a law there, it's repugnant to the Constitution, it's null and void, and they can't do it. And why do they want to do a non-judicial foreclosure? It's because they cannot do a constitutional foreclosure. They don't have the paperwork. They don't have the certified papers to make any proof of anything concerning whether, and it doesn't matter whether it's the tax man or if it's the mortgage company. They cannot constitutionally, lawfully make the case in court. They just can't do it. It's a no-brainer to win. In one swoop, you could walk in and win if you had a righteous judge there. But once we get to the other side, you know, You won't even need this stuff. It's just not going to happen no more.
I would like to make one more comment. You hit the nail on the head. You see, they're going to come after you for what? Teaching or using
something silly. I got to be careful.
All right, fine. Well, what you need to do now is do a memorandum of law about attorneys, licenses, and the fraud there. The estates don't issue licenses. This is nothing more than a union card by an association that belongs to a foreign jurisdiction, and it's time we boot these people out of our country.
Look, they teach subversion against the United States of America. The whole association, the Bar Association, is guilty of treason. And in theory, we could put every single one of them in jail, every single one of them. Of course, we have to have a constitutional court to do that. And we're going to get one. And a lot of these people will go to jail. You know, most of them are just useful idiots, and that's an unfortunate thing. And they'll have to pay some price somewhere. And the people will decide on how merciful they're going to be or not. But generally speaking, we are going to go after the top dogs. And we know who those people are. We're going to go after them. We're going to get them. We're going to try them. And they're going to be found guilty, I'm sure. It's up to the jury to make that decision, not me. But I'm confident that they'll be found guilty. And they'll pay the price of subversion, whatever that may be. We won't discuss that in detail. That's up to the people. You know, maybe mercy will be given. I don't know. It's not my job to make that part of the decision. So, but we have to go after these people, and we have to call them on it. The Bar Association, the purpose of the Bar Association is to destroy America. That's its only purpose. It was created for that purpose. It is the minions of the New World Order. They create the statutory prisons, and we are living in statutory prisons. You know, all these laws and everything we're living under and everything we're doing, they created. And if you take them up against the Constitution, none of them bear weight in the Constitution. Every one of them are crushed by the weight of the Constitution. It's contrary to everything, to our unalienable rights. It's contrary to everything in our Constitution. They're doing everything wrong. The Bar Association, they write all these papers and all these different legislative legislation. And a lot of it is written in advance. Some of these have been maybe a half a dozen years ago or a dozen years ago could have been written. A lot of these papers, and as they move along, they keep moving and putting in place, and Congress looks and they don't even read it, and they just pass it and move on, and they're clueless. They're useful idiots, but some of them are the minions. The lawyers are the minions of the New World Order. They've been trained to exercise and uphold and empower the New World Order. So, all right, anything else, Fred?
Only Brent Winters maybe discussing about bar attorneys, if that's possible.
Yeah, you can talk. He has talked about them before. You can talk some more, but Brent isn't with us tonight. He'll be back next week. Just so people know, Brent is not a bar attorney. He happens to be in an area. I haven't got the details on this specifically, but where he's at, he became a lawyer without going through the bar, so he's not a bar attorney. I think he fights on the federal level. I have to ask him. I never asked him on that. So, all right, you can quiz him next week, or he'll be back on the bar. Okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. I'll yield to someone else.
Thanks, Fred. Okay, we'll take our next caller, Ali from Colorado. How you doing, Ali?
Hello, John. Hello, people. Hey, I was going to make some comments on the pipeline, but somebody is saying, I want to see progress. Well, let me tell you what. We had a major victory in Portland last Thursday, and the NLA had a very big impact on that. There was a lot of NLA people out there talking about common law grand juries, the Constitution, and the inalienable rights, and this and that. And those people in the jury, that they've heard these whispers. Word gets out. When you plant seeds, when you plant ideas, if they give hope, they grow and they grow. One of the jurors come out Friday and talked to the celebrators across the street and said one of the big factors was this. When they wouldn't let the Bundys read out of the Constitution, at one point they wouldn't let them read out of the Bible, That was one major factor. They didn't like that.
Yep, those are the things that these people don't understand bothers all of us. And yet it's going to blow up in their faces. So amen to that.
Anyway, let me talk about the pipeline. I've been in a lot of call-in shows since the beginning. Okay, I've talked to a lot of them. I've listened to them. In the beginning, there is some Indians, okay, out there protesting. The sheriff, you know, that there are some small-town cops out here and this and that. You know, and that they were playing the role, and, you know, and the cops weren't really enthused on, they were just out there standing, you know, just playing a role. Okay, next thing you know, there's 2,000 of them. Okay, so the oil companies, they hired mercenaries. These mercenaries, they're ex-Blackwater. Okay. These mercenaries, you put some money in their pocket, give them a loaded gun, all they want to do is kill. In fact, they were referring to the Indians as prairie niggers, okay? Now, next thing you know, you got 4,000 of them out there. Well, let me retract a little bit. Two or three weeks ago at one point, those mercenaries brought out attack dogs. And they actually were biting women and children. Well, that didn't go down very good. They run them off. But okay, now the numbers grew. They've got something like 4,000 or 5,000protesters out there now. So this sheriff, he is working for the corporation. Okay. He tried to enlist sheriffs out of other states. He has enlisted sheriffs out of other states, but like sheriffs in Ohio says, you know what? If they can't pay us, we can't afford to be sending our deputies over there, so they're pulling back. I have a feeling that sheriff hired more mercenaries. Now, let me tell you the scary part. I was listening to him last night. In any typical government operation, they're going to foster racism and they're going to chaos. Last night, they are talking about sovereign nation. They're going with their treaties, okay? And they are saying the white man once again is going against his treaties. The white man. You can't tell them that the decision to put that pipeline through that reservation was not even made by an American. It was made by a globalist on the other side of the planet. See, they
Is there any way to get a conference with these people?
Well, let me. I'm working up to that. Okay, here's the scary part. They are trying to get the United Nations to come in and help them against the United States. Now, well, what could be more worse? The UN troops there with automatic weapons, which are nothing more than mercenaries themselves. Shooting it out with other mercenaries, there would be thousands slaughtered, okay? Now, as far as the NLA is concerned, I don't think that would have anything to do with us. They are, that is the sad part.
Well, look, if we can get individuals to write affidavits concerning what's going on, I'd like to get some video if possible, and really get a good hold on what's real, an understanding of what's happening here, and be able to articulate the specifics, which is the law. Look, at the bottom line is a very simple thing. You know, they can fight. No one's focusing in on the real focus, so it seems to me anyway, and that is the law. These people are a sovereign nation. This reservation is sovereign. It doesn't belong to, you know, we the people of the United States. It belongs to we the people of that nation, which are Indians. It's them. That's their land. Okay, that's the that's where you win the battle. Give me the necessary meat I need to make that point. The documentation to prove what it is that they're doing, to show what it is that they're trying to take and what it is they're trying to do and what the Indian people don't want them to do. You know, give me that story. Give me the affidavits of the assaults. Give me the affidavits of the abuse. Give me the affidavits of their forcing whatever it is, a pipeline along that land. Give me those affidavits, and we'll put it in the court, and we'll deal with it there.
The only suggestion I'd have is get somebody that understands. See, the Indians, they have their natural and spiritual laws. It is the same thing as our common laws. There's a commonality there, and they're under the impression that no other tribes understand the laws of the land, the laws of the earth. They do not understand common law, which is essentially the same. But the only thing we could remedy I would see would get somebody that knows their natural and spiritual laws, knows their ways, and go talk to the elders.
Well, look, if we can get a conversation with them, fine. I wouldn't go trying and working hard to try to get one, and you spend a lot of time on it. We either get it or we don't.
Yeah.
Time proves all things. If we have opportunity to do something good and we do it, and they may not even realize it in the beginning what we've done or what we're doing, and then maybe we can get a success. And if we get a success, then they look over to see what happened, that the success came through. And here is a bunch of people who are we the people, Americans, black, white, pink, blue, I don't care what color you are, it's irrelevant. But here it is we the people, not the federal government, who is a snake not only to the tribes people, to the Indians. They're snakes to us too. They have destroyed and injured us as much as they've injured the Indian. And they need to understand that. But you know what? Time will show that. Time will prove that. Proof is in the pudding. It always is. And look, some people have went around, years ago, and even just recently, 6 months ago, I'm a fascist and I'm leading people here or there, or I'm doing whatever, say all the manner of evil against me. I really don't care what anyone says about me. It's irrelevant to me, because time's going to prove what it is that we're doing and what I'm involved with and what you're involved with and what we're going to accomplish. And all we have to do is just keep pressing towards the mark. And we don't have to worry about the rest of the stuff. And even if people run away from us now, they'll run to us later, maybe. I don't know. That's all up to that business is God's business. It's not my business. I'm not going to try to make people or fix people or convince people of anything. You tell a story, you do what you can do, you get the cooperation, you don't get the cooperation, you move on to the next thing. If we don't do anything to help the Indians because we don't have the people to do the right thing to get the information and the documentation to us, fine, we move on. We're not going to get it. It's just not for us to get it.
Yeah,
it's not part of the plan, I guess. I don't know. I don't make this stuff up. It's not up to me. I don't control destiny. That's God's.
Well, as one of God's children, we are obligated to stand and to stand for them and try to help them. I don't think they would accept our help. It would be worth a shot to try.
It doesn't matter, Ali, whether they accept our help or not.
Yeah, yeah.
The point is if you got a couple of people who write the right kind of paper and we get the right story and we know we got the real deal understanding of the story enough to be able to write a paper and file papers and maybe get a win, that's fine. And it doesn't matter whether they never acknowledge the fact that that we done this for them and that there are other good people. It doesn't matter. That's all irrelevant. That works out in the end, in the long term. It's not for me or you to worry about. So,
yeah,
if someone can get the information together and dig around and get us some, we'll have a little meeting for anybody interested. We'll try to explain exactly what it is that we need and if they can achieve those goals and get those documentations that we need, then we can file the papers and move on. And it's not that we're going to focus all our time on the Indian problem. We've got 100 problems, and we can focus in on 100 problems. As long as we have the people out there that are involved, that gets the information we need. We already got, I forget the number, 40, 50, I don't even know anymore. We've already got habeas corpus cases. We've got all the documentation, all the information, everything we need to convict. All right, we got all that evidence in our hands right now. We can put in jail all of these federal judges that are involved in these things. We can also put in jail all of these judges that are involved in the denial of due process to these people, just in the habeas corpus cases alone. Okay, and we have everything there for that. So why not pursue that which we have? We will. We're going to. We can go after, we're going to go be able to go after Congress in certain ways, and we're going to be able to go after the United States Supreme Court in certain ways. We're going to push them in certain directions, you know, to get involved in the Indian thing. If that becomes something that all of a sudden we find ourselves sucked into, and we get recognition for that, and people start looking at us for that, that may be the thing that something is going to be a catalyst that is going to push us through that final point of really hitting critical mass, you know.
John, let me put it this way: we are in the end times. We are in a spiritual battle. I get my ideas, my urges, from a spiritual source. Okay, if we are meant to go there, we will go. Somebody will get that mission. Somebody will, every cell in his body will say, I need to go there and From an NLA standpoint, it will happen.
Well, we definitely are standing at the precipice. There's no doubt about it. And we do have a role to play in these end times. Small or big, it's irrelevant. A role is a role, and we'll play it, whatever it is. But the ultimate warrior that's going to solve the problem is the Almighty himself. You know, and he speaks about this. The whole Bible is focused in on that point. You know, anybody who is a Bible student of the Bible, anybody, a serious student of the Bible, knows that we are absolutely here. We are here. Something big is about to happen, and it's not going to be done by man, okay? God is not going to permit these people to build their dark, evil cities and fill the world with their dark, evil cities. He says so in his world. I'm not going to permit it. I'm going to take that Leviathan, and I'm going to kill that monster in the sea. And that's the body of Satan. That is the collective body of evil. And we see them in the presence of the New World Order and all these just evil people who have destroyed anything that is good. Look, we had a covenant with God. They stuck their fingers in between us and God. Just think about what that means. You think God's going to let them go on that? You know, we went to God concerning this nation to bring it to, under his righteousness, under his authority, under his law, and these evil men thought that they can get in between, and it looks like they won, and they're look, God's not going to let them get away with it. It's just not going to happen. End of subject. There's nothing to even talk about. And anybody who is a serious Bible student knows that. And that's where we're at. So how it's going to end up and how it's going to turn out and how it's going to unfold, you know, we don't really know. But again, our part is very simple. Do the right thing, little by little, continue to move forward, and it's that simple. It doesn't get any more difficult than that.
Well, let me tell you this. It seems like the more you do, the more you get piled on. And I'll tell you what. We are making tremendous progress. They are on the defense. They are scrambling. We're on the offense now. They're on the defense. They're running scared. And I see miracles every day. We are winning. We are winning.
Did they ship all the Bundys and everybody down to Arizona? Where is it?
Not yet. By all rights.
Nevada.
By all rights, they should have been released.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. There's nothing to talk about. If there's no warrant for their arrest, a valid warrant, they need to have been released. And you know what? If we can get people to do affidavits and give it to us, we'll file those papers. We can file papers concerning their release right now. They need to release them. We can command them to do so and make it and bring it into our case and go after more. We're going to go after Judge Brown anyway. But we can put the pressure on those marshals and everyone else. They better release them. You don't have a paper, you know. We're coming out after you. Maybe we'll get you today. We'll get you tomorrow. But we're coming out with warrants for your arrest, because we're gonna indict.
See,
so,
by all rights, by all rights,
to do the affidavits.
By all rights, Nevada at that time had to come with extradition to get them down Nevada. And then Mumford was arguing with Judge Brown at the end. Where's your papers? Where's your papers? And at that time, five or six U.S. Marshals dogpiled on him, took him to the floor, and then tased him.
Yeah, I heard. Well, we can file a paper on that. If you think you can get people who write the affidavits that'll tell that story and put it into clarity and it's all sworn to, You know, get a meeting, talk with Jan, get a meeting, and we'll tell you very specifically what it is we're going to need for that case. And if you can get it, we'll file the papers. If you can get it tomorrow,
They've done in front of the press. Many, many witnesses, and then in front of God.
An affidavit concerning that debate and argument in the court over the fact that these people should be released because there is no paperwork holding them, then that in itself is pretty powerful. And so, look at if you think you can help us take us this direction. Let's do it. But again, affidavits is the key. No affidavits, we can't do anything.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, I yield, John. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you. Okay, let us take our next caller. Is that Smitty's 805 number?
Yeah, good evening, John.
Hey, hey, Doug. What's first name and state?
Oh, Don from California.
California, good.
I have one short question, and it's hypothetical, but if it were announced tomorrow that we are a republic of the United States again, would NLA's first action be to get the four directors in every county to the sheriff so that he could march them into that courthouse?
Well, look, we first have to get four individuals in each case to be the administrators. Okay, we don't have four in every county. We do have a lot of people who have kind of signed up, and I don't know where they're at with their commitments, but a lot of them are being educated right now. We'll have another book coming out soon, and that'll work in order to help in the system. It'll be a handbook type thing. You know, we kind of already drawn out the what we need to do to put into that book, so we've got the curriculum laid out, but we haven't got all the information in to put into the book. So we're working on that. And that's going to be, we'll do it as quick as we can. We've got a lot of other things going on. But that should prepare these people. And even if they're not prepared, they could still go in as people and they can continue to us with advice. And hopefully they'll come to us for advice. People need to do this thing the right way. We don't need people going in to take these positions to do things and just, turn everything upside down on their head and lose all credibility in their counties and with the court and cause more chaos than what we already have. There's a way to do things, and we can walk people through these ways, and we can give classes on it. But we'll move to get the handbook, because if they follow the handbook, they'll do it the right way. But remember, most of it is the logic and the heart, the mind and the heart working together to do the right thing. But there are procedures and there are certain things that must be adhered to and followed. We need more administrators. We need more volunteers for administrators. I do think that once we hit critical mass, we're going to get a landslide of people who want to take these positions. And then we'll fill them and we'll move on. We'll get it done. What exactly was the question again, to be more specific now?
Well, you answered it. That tells me what I was concerned with, very concerned with. But, mm-hmm. Okay, second item here is the young lady that donated the $100. I accept her challenge, and I'm going to speak to PayPal tomorrow to see if they wouldn't send you $100.
Okay, appreciate that. Okay.
Okay,
thank you. Anything else? Yeah.
No, that's it.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Let me take the next caller. Jay from North Carolina. How you doing, Jay? You feeling better?
Yeah, I am. This is Jay from North Carolina.
You actually sound like Jay now.
Well,
last time I spoke to you, you were pretty ill, I guess, huh?
I was on my home phone. I'm back in the truck now. My question goes back to non-resident aliens and U.S. citizens. Either you're a U.S. corporate citizen of the 10 square miles of Washington, D.C., or you're a non-resident alien. Isn't that right?
We don't adhere to any of that. I'm one of the people of the United States. If you want to call me a citizen, I'm a citizen. If an individual comes into this country, the federal government was given the job to prepare the rules in order to bring these people into citizenship so they can take them through their exercise and then give them their certificate or blessings or whatever it is that they do that makes them the citizen. And then they can come to New York and be a New Yorker, or they can go to Jersey or to Texas, wherever they want to be, and be one of the people of that state, and that's it. All the rest of it is BS from my position. We don't want to acknowledge the word game. We don't want to make an argument with them on the word game. We don't want to go in and genuflect before them. We don't want to give them any credibility. If we play the game, the word game with them, we're giving them credibility. I say, no, you're a fraud. You want to bring that up? Bring it up. What do you got to say about that? They're not going to say anything. You know, Bill Thornton made this point, and when he first made it, it just hit home run with me immediately. I said, he's absolutely right. You don't have to go in there and say anything. I'm one of the people. And then press the mark.
But isn't their word game a U.S. citizen?
I don't care what it is. It doesn't mean anything to me. If you got a foreign person that becomes a U.S. citizen, once they move to New York, aren't they a New Yorker?
Well, we're not U.S. citizens. That's
yeah,
the key.
Yeah, the words are irrelevant. Of course not. We're citizens of the state we live in, but the federal government has been given the authority and to make a rule that is uniform across the nation for bringing people in to become citizens. And it doesn't matter, you know, it's a federal, they do a federal thing, and whatever it is, I really don't care. I don't care what words they use or what magic wand they wave. It doesn't matter to me. The point of the matter is once they acknowledge the fact that these people are citizens, all they need to do is live somewhere. And you know, I'm a citizen of New York. I'm one of the people of New York. This is where I live, and if tomorrow morning I decide to move to Jersey, I pack up my stuff and I get to Jersey and I plant my stuff at 9 a.m. in the morning in a new apartment or a house or whatever it is, I all of a sudden just became a New Jerseyan with all the powers and the authority that any other New Jerseyan has, and I'm one of the people, and that's that. And I could do that in any state of the union. I can become a citizen. I could change my citizenship every month if that's what I want to do. I can do that because, and that's the unique thing about America.
Well, I'm trying to figure this out right now because I'm about to change jobs. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have to fill out another W-2 or whatever the hell it is.
Right. Yeah, if you got to play the game, you know, it's a dangerous game to go up against the IRS and to not pay your taxes. And if you could do it and you know how to do it and you feel comfortable and you want it, that's fine. But no one should feel forced that they need to do that. You know, you have to pick your challenges and you have to pick your battles and figure out, you know, where you're willing to go to jail for. And you know, I don't want to go to jail. I got too many things to do on a different level here. So, you know, I have a driver's license and I play most of their games and I acknowledge, you know, and just do it because I'm kind of captured to some degree, just like anyone else. That's not where I'm going to make. I don't want to sit in jail because I'm driving without a license. You know what I mean? I'm not going to sit in jail because I refuse to pay a ticket. You know.
I don't know if that question is on the W-2 if you're a resident, you know, U.S. citizen or non-resident alien. So that's what I was.
Difference does it? Don't worry about it. It doesn't affect your standing as one of the people. It doesn't. It's all fraud. If you had to go in, the only place they'd be able to use that against you is in court, okay? And in order to use it against you in court, they'd have to bring surprise, and surprise means that they defrauded you, doesn't it? Something you didn't know. Something they knew when the contract was made, and you didn't even know a contract was being made. You see, that's fraud. You can't. It doesn't work. So bring it into the courts. They never will bring it up. It's something that makes them feel better, and it confuses us. And when we get scrambling and stop playing these magic words and clicking our heels and think that we're going to be, you know, brought back into Kansas or something, you know, all that stuff, okay, they're laughing at us. That's what they're doing. They're laughing at us. When we go into court, clearly they're not laughing at us.
So if you had to answer the question on a form for an employer to get a job, to be able to support yourself, if you came across that question, are you a U.S. citizen or a non-resident alien, what would you mark, John?
a U.S. citizen. I recently had to do something like that with my driver's license. I forget what it was because I have a driver's license all my life, but there was something. Maybe it was a renewal or something. I don't remember. But I had to fill out a form down at the DMV in about a year ago or so, and I checked the box of U.S. citizen. I know what a U.S. citizen means. A U.S. citizen means that I'm one of the people of the United States, but it's not identifying my state. But they're playing a con game on me, but they'll never bring it up in court. They'll never use it against me. They'll never be able to enforce it. Because I will sidestep them two things. Number one, they don't have jurisdiction over me. And number two, you got to give me due process. And number three, don't come in with your funny courts that courts of jurisdiction's unknown. I know what jurisdiction I'm in. This is the court I'm in. Do we understand what court I'm in? As a matter of fact, they have their own form. We talked about that today. Form 106, I think it was. Let me see if I can find that real quick.
By you marking that box to you're a U.S. citizen, aren't you playing their word game?
No. No. It means something different to me than it does to them.
Okay.
To me, it means the fact that I'm a citizen of the United States, meaning that I'm a citizen of Florida. I'm a citizen of California.
You're aware, John, that the U.S. means corporate 10-square-mile radius of D.C.
That's a fraud of 1871, of course. The Organic Act of 1871, when they created D.C. itself, it's all a fraud. It's null and void. It's meaningless. It has no power. It has no authority. They'll never bring it up in the court, and I don't need to bring it up. I'm going to bring up jurisdiction. I'm going to bring up Form 7, page 106 of the Federal Rules of the Court. And the Federal Rules of the Court allows me to file a statement of jurisdiction. And the jurisdiction that I'm talking about is the common law jurisdiction. What are they going to do with that? That's solid. That's something I'm going to bring up in court. That's something they can't argue against.
Okay.
You see, and again, you know, how to fight this in court becomes another thing. You when you go to state court, you're playing checkers. When you go to federal court, you're playing chess. These guys are much more sophisticated. They understand exactly what they're doing. These are true subverters of the United States of America, these judges. They are subverters because they know exactly what they're doing. A lot of these state judges, they haven't got a clue on what's going on. They're confused, and they're like the waves in the sea, and they may do one thing one way one day and another day. When you work your way up the channels and you get into the courts of these federal courts and they look to see what you've done in the state court and they read the papers, they're going to worry about you doing the same thing to them that you did to them, and that creates a problem for them. And when you lay the line, the gambit down, and you say, hey, look, you know, and you do it in a very nonchalant way. You can't do it in a threatening way, and you let it be known. You know, if you come up against my unalienable rights, I'm going to take you to task for that. I'm going to remove you from the bench, and I'm going to sue you for violating my unalienable rights. I'm going to sue you for taking me to jurisdictions unknown. I'm going to sue you for treason. You see, if you let them know that without actually saying that, and there are ways you can be very subtle. They pick up on it because they're chess players. They know the jurisdictions. When you go into, I've heard this a long time ago, when you go into a federal court and you, it's like you move from jurisdiction to jurisdiction as the conversation changes. Okay? And I don't understand any of those jurisdictions, and I really don't care to understand any of those jurisdictions. Don't bring me into a foreign jurisdiction. I'm in the jurisdiction of Article III courts, which is under the Constitution, the law of the land, and obeys and acts according to the rules of the common law. Period. That's what I know. That's what I am. That's where I belong. And I'll file my statement of jurisdiction. And you can't move my jurisdiction unless you file another paper. And I'm gonna rebut your paper and prevent that from happening and have it thrown out, because I have unalienable rights to stay in this jurisdiction. They're not going to make that argument, by the way. You'll never get there because you don't have to get there. They're just going to want you out of their courtroom. So I don't worry about it. Don't you?
Okay.
Yeah, I'll check the box U.S. citizen, and that's
okay.
Good enough. And they'll never use it against you. Don't worry about it. It'll never come up. So it's something they put us in boxes we have to do. We have to jump through their stupid hoops. You know, I watch Hulu sometimes. And I just got rid of the commercials on Hulu. It only cost $4. I wish I knew that a while ago. I would have paid the $4 a while ago and was watching all these stupid commercials. But anyway, these commercials would come on. And it would ask you, would you like to see this kind of commercial or would you like to see that commercial? I don't want to make that decision, even in my own home, sitting on my couch or laying in my bed, pushing the button. I don't want to push the button to make a decision. But these people force us into this decision-making. And you sit there and wait until you make that decision, okay? And that sucks, and I'm tired of it, and we need to change that. But until we can change it, we'll have to live with it, we'll have to deal with it, we'll move along. They'll never bring any of it up against us in court. They'll never come and say, ah, look, you got a Social Security number. Ah, you look, you checked the box here, you're a citizen. Ah, look, you were born here, and you got a birth certificate, and your mother signed this, and your father signed that. You, what is all that? I didn't know anything about that. That just makes it fraud right there. You're saying this is a contract? Contract that I knew nothing about? You know? Contract my parents knew nothing about? Contract that nobody else knows about but you guys? A secret contract? What does that mean? It's fraud. All right. Anything else, Jay?
No, that's it. That question was brought up earlier, and, you know, I just thought that my understanding was either you're under the 10 square mile radius jurisdiction or you aren't. So
there is no 10 mile jurisdiction radius or anything like that. Remember that. Because the Act of 1871, the Organic Act of 1871, is null and void from the day it was written. It was null and void. That day, it's null and void today.
Anything built
upon it is null and void, and it's not going to come up in court. They'll never bring it up in court. I'm not going to bring it up in court. I'm going to bring my jurisdiction, and they're going to say, what are we going to do now?
Okay.
You see, because I got my jurisdiction. They gave me the form to fill out for the jurisdiction, so I filled it out. Everyone should, when you go into federal court, fill out that jurisdiction form. We'll post it if we haven't, and give you an idea on how we filled it out. And you fill it out appropriately. It's a very simple, and you're in your jurisdiction. So
okay.
All right, Jay. Thanks.
Have a good.
You too, Jay. Thank you. Gary from Illinois. It looks like.
Correct, John.
Hey.
A little information on the pipeline.
The
groups involved are the Army Corps and the Fish and Wildlife, and it's my understanding they did not have a signed easement to cross that land, and that's kind of what started the events out there.
And well, that's the documentation we need to get. They have no. We need someone to do an affidavit to say that there is no. Or they've got some silly paper that just says this, that, or the other thing, and it on its face it proves the fact that they have no approval of an easement.
Yeah,
that's one of the main things we need, and that's the key to the whole thing. We can win this in court.
The Corps, I read, I don't have any solid facts, but it was in the news. The Corps admitted that it wasn't signed. They just gave the authority to start the easement paper, but no signature.
Well, who started the easement paper?
I'm sorry?
Who's supposed to have started the easement paper? The federal government? Or a corporation?
Well, that I'm not sure of, but I think it was the Corps that was supposed to have done it, because they're the ones that came out and said it wasn't signed, that they gave authority.
Hey, what do you think would happen if we went over to Russia and started to make an easement right through Moscow? Say, hey, we need to put a pipe through here. What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, I agree.
World War III is going to happen, isn't it?
Right.
We got to make that point right here. You can't do it. This is sovereign people. You ain't got the right to go through a state that says no. As a matter of fact, I was just reading in the Constitution, and it jumped out on me, the fact that, you know, even these arsenals and docks and different things that they want, that the federal government wants to put in the states, they got to get the permission of the legislature. And if the state legislature doesn't give it to them, guess what? They ain't got nothing. They can't come into that state. They can't put a dock there. They can't do nothing. If the state says no, stay the hell out. It's done.
I think what they're trying to do is like Daley did in Illinois, and just go ahead and do it. And now it's done, and Now what are we going to do? You need to sign the paper. Well, I think that's why they're bringing so much leverage out there is they know the paper's not going to be signed, and they just want to force the issue. And I mean,
how long is this pipeline?
Oh, it runs all the way from North Dakota down to Illinois. It runs across the South Dakota, maybe Minnesota, Iowa, and into Illinois.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's 1,000 miles or more long.
And how much? How many miles is going through the Indian land?
Well, I haven't been able to
find out exactly.
It skirts some of it, very close to the to their burial grounds and that type of thing. I don't think it goes through there. I've heard both ways, but I don't believe it does. But it goes through quite a few miles of Indian land, rural, you know, out in the country type. But I don't have all the facts on it, but it's kind of a Bundy deal. And as Stephanie mentioned, there's tribes from all over the country and I guess the world, you know, that are out there. And I mean, they've got heavy equipment utilizing sound cannons and, of course, pepper spray and. And they're pretty rough out there. Dogs, you know, it's
and American people don't even know. The American people don't even know what we're doing to these Indians. They just don't even know. Isn't that amazing? Where is the press on this? The press needs to be prosecuted, you know. That's something we really need to think about. We get to the other side, all of these editors, every one of these editors need to be brought in for questioning. We need to understand what they've been doing and what they've been doing concerning this subversion. They've turned their head the other way. They've refused to report it on these important stories of liberty and freedom. It's just amazing, and it's disgusting, and they need to be held accountable.
That's
you know?
Another thing that did happen out there. A news reporter with a long history went out there and reported on it. I can't remember her name or what she wrote for or what. But anyway, she was thrown in jail. She wasn't in
because
long.
They're evil. These people are evil.
Absolutely. They didn't want the truth to come out, and she was
they couldn't just go around the Indian land? Is it just too much of a problem for them to do that?
No, there is an alternate route that went to the north that would have gone completely around it. And they're very concerned because they want to go under the Missouri River, and there's a couple tributaries, other rivers coming into that at that point, and they don't want a pipeline burst that ruins water for millions of people. And of course, you're reading the news now. There's a lot of these pipelines. I think one out in Pennsylvania or somewhere out east broke just recently with 55,000 gallons going into the river and creating a big problem. So there's pipeline bursts all the time, and that's what they're concerned about, the water. And so they're putting up a good fight, but we need to get
if we can get someone who can give us the very specific picture and work with us to get, and we'll know then, once we understand the story a little better, someone who can give us a big picture of this and the details, then we can know exactly what it is we need in order to file papers. And and if we can achieve those papers that we ask for, then we can file papers and assist them. Whether they want us to or not, doesn't matter. We can assist them and win the court in the case on behalf of we the people. So
I'll see if I can do a little more research on it. I've been following it, but not closely. I got too much other stuff to do. But
right.
But I'll see if I can find something on it.
Okay. Appreciate the call. Thanks.
Okay.
Okay, let's take the next caller here. Let's see. Hit the right button here. Next question. I don't know, Diamondstein or something? What's your first 516 number?
My name is Dave, calling from New York.
Dave from New York. How you doing, Dave?
I'm good.
What, are you out there in Long Island?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. And, I just wanted to double check something on When you spoke earlier tonight about the statement of jurisdiction and the power of authority, are those on the website, and can I print them and circulate them to people?
Yeah, you can do what you want with them. Sure, you can print them and do whatever you want with them. You know, we're going to perfect them. They're not perfected. This is the first, introduction to the paper. These are a couple of papers that are parts of a whole paper that we haven't completed yet that we'll be filing in the federal courts. But, you know, you can use any of these information, any of these, you can cut things up out of it and use it. We don't care. You know, it's history, it's law, it's facts. So you can find it up on our website at nationallibertyalliance.org and click on the grand jury on the right side of the blue bar. You'll see grand jury. Click on that. Just scroll down a little bit. It's the first group of files that we have available that you can click on. One is information on martial law. That's going to be part of the case. Power and authority. Okay, that was the one we read tonight. Redress of grievances, we read last week. And statement of jurisdiction, that was read, looked at a little today also. That's something you're going to want to understand and know, and hopefully it'll benefit you somehow.
Yeah, I have friends that I talk to about all this, and they sort of shrug it off. They don't believe it's real, like, kind of thing. And I want to, mm-hmm. I think this is, you know, like, I want to start a committee of safety. I'm in Nassau County. I think there's a committee of safety, but I haven't met any of the guys yet.
Well, you go up online and you get the phone numbers. You can click on the committees of safety, look it up in your county to see if there's one there. And if there is, you make the connection and work with them. If not, get one started and work with others. So.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And the only other thought that I had was, also, when you're talking about the earlier, you mentioned something about with people voting and not voting, there's always been the silent majority for as long as I can remember of people when it comes to voting at all. Like, the 100% of the population in this country never votes. It's a very small percentage that's actually voting. And I think that when it comes time that all of this stuff comes out into the forefront of everyone's mindset, you can get 99% voter turnout. You know, I just have that feeling about it when it's going to take time, but you just...
Yeah, I agree. If we can, look at, I don't know that we'll ever reach 99%. I mean, that'd be amazing. Even if we reach 85, 90%, that'd be huge. I mean, just amazing. We can definitely fix the problem if we can fix our courts. If we can fix our courts, we can fix our political process. If we can fix our political process, we can fix all of our problems in America. And if we can fix all the problems in America, then we can start working on re-educating our children, ourselves, and getting into the schools at every level and teaching them the things that they need to know and understand about this nation and liberty and what liberty is about and the responsibility of the keepers of liberty, which is them. You are responsible to keep liberty, and you're responsible to exercise your liberty, and you're responsible to defend your liberty, and we can get that going into the schools. Yeah, I think in maybe a 20-year turnaround, possibly, I don't know, or some period of time, we could potentially reach a huge amount of people that will then be voting, because then it's worthwhile to them. And looking, you know, voting is not... It should never really be all that important per se to say, we got to get this guy or this guy. Either one should be good, okay? You may like one above the other, but look, if they're just doing their job and being statesmen, that's all we're expecting. And if you got both sides or all sides, if we continue with sides, with parties, I'd like to see that go away. But if we can get rid of parties, that'd be great. But it doesn't matter then. You know, if the people are being statesmen and obeying the law, which is the Constitution, staying within their jurisdiction, representing the people, not taking funny money, then you're going to have a good government process going on.
Yeah.
That's simple.
Absolutely.
It's going to be good. There's not going to be nothing wrong with it. You know?
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter whether they have a D or R next to the name, because it's all irrelevant. All that is politics. Politics was never meant to be part of the political process. Boy, I want to tell you, Washington beat on this. Three-quarters of his farewell speech was about politics and the political process and the committee man, you know? And he tried to drive the point home. Stop with the stupid politics already. Please, stop it. Let's get statesmen in here. Let's get involved in the political process. Do the right thing. Move on. Do your duty as one of the people, and let's keep our liberties. Because if you do your duty as one of the people, it's very minimum amounts to do. You know, you should belong to the militia and be active in the militia. You should respond to the grand jury or trial jury when you're called to be on it. You should make sure you're educated and understanding what liberty is and have a constitutional course taken. You should get that in school, a civics course, and so on and so forth. And you should be a committee man at least once in your life. It's a 2-year commitment of what? Goodness. So you have to commit to maybe about 25 or 30 hours a year for 2 years. Big deal, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's usually during the when the voting is going, during the voting process time. So come on, everyone can do that. I can do that. You can do that. We gotta do that.
Right.
Nothing.
Right.
And we should move on. We shouldn't make it a career or anything. We don't need to be there 20, 50 years. Go in there for 2 years, move out, and let someone else go in. Because we need to rotate that. And it'll be it's a good experience. If the committee man process moved along the way it should move on, and you have that experience, and you went in to participate with that, you'd be very pleased with yourself and the process when you come out of that, and you'd want your children to experience the same thing. Obviously, it doesn't work the way it should, but we can make it happen. We know what needs to be done to make that happen. We have to win our courts back to make the political process side work. So, anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, well, thank you. I'm definitely going to, you know, I'll keep on everybody that I'm in touch with to
appreciate it.
Because it's just going to snowball. It's going to happen soon, so.
Yep.
It's in a good way. It's going to snowball.
Mm-hmm. All right, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. And we're about ready to coming to the end here, but I'd like to say again, you know, we do need some money. We have to catch up on bills. We're falling behind bills again. We're just not pulling enough monthly to pay all the bills, and you know, so we need some help there. But we also need about $1,000 and plus $400, about $1,400-$1,500 to get these next group of papers out. We need some money, please. Go up to our website, click on the donation button. Everyone should be given $5 a month or more, just on a regular basis. And every once in a while, give that extra $50 or whatever you can to help when we're doing something like this, where we have to get papers filed and get it done. So, again, everybody, please get involved and let's get this done. All right. Thanks a lot for coming. Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. Have a good week. Thank you.